KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at kcnr1460.com. Join Sue McClain weekday mornings from 6 to 7 for the Sue McClain News Hour, where you'll hear the up-to-the-minute local news, national and international news, weather, sports, and a whole lot more. Followed by Free Fire Radio from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. with Carl and Linda Bach. From 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, equal opportunity critics. From noon to 3, learn how to get out of debt with Dave Ramsey. From 3 to 6, don't miss constitutional expert Mark Levin. Monday through Thursday nights, starting at 6 p.m., we have local shows featuring everything from the paranormal, local history, North State Now, and unsung heroes of our area. From 7 to 9, tune in to Ben Shapiro, your local downtown radio station, KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at kcnr1460.com.
Hey, and welcome. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. The Ben Shapiro Show is sponsored by ExpressVPN. Don't let big tech track what you do. Anonymize your web browsing at expressvpn.com/Ben. Alrighty. So the left seems to be in a war with itself right now. And I'm very much rooting for the moderate left to win. I want moderate liberals to win the battle against the woke. And it seems like this is happening in terms of electoral politics, but oddly enough, it's not happening in terms of policy. And that's really quite strange, because the reality is that inside the Democratic Party, there are many, many more people who are sort of moderate than there are people who have heavy sympathies for the woke. Now, in elite circles, it's precisely the reverse. In elite circles, in the media particularly, in the halls of power, in institutions, there's a lot of sympathy for the woke. There are a lot of people out there who think of the woke as sort of the most dedicated to the cause. And so they're willing to give them all sorts of slack. They're willing to allow them all sorts of room to run. They're willing to defend them even when they say overtly stupid and bizarre things. They're willing to follow their policy lead. But the Democratic Party base is not aligned with this. They just are not. The latest indicator of that this week was this race in Ohio between Chantel Brown, a Democratic county councilor, fighting against Nina Turner, who's a former co-chair for Bernie Sanders' presidential campaign. In the 15th Congressional District, which is a safely Republican seat around Columbus, energy industry lobbyist Mike Carey, meanwhile, prevailed over a crowded field boosted by former President Donald Trump's endorsements. There are a couple of open primaries the other night. And there are kind of mixed results on the GOP side, but the big result on the Democratic side was, of course, that there was this big infight that went on between Nina Turner, who again was that former co-chair for Bernie, and Chantel Brown. So it looked like Nina Turner was going to win that safe Democratic seat. And then the entire Democratic Party infrastructure said, wait, we don't need another member of the squad. We need somebody who's more aligned with the sort of Biden rhetoric, who's more aligned with the middle of the Democratic Party. And so you saw James Clyburn intervene in exactly the same way he did in the presidential race. And then it turned out that Nina Turner got pretty much skunked by Chantel Brown. Now, this was a rejection of the squad. Make no mistake about this. Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez had told voters during a July swing through the district to vote for Nina Turner. Said, please send me Nina. Brown, 45, had entered the race with local clout. Turner had name recognition from a career in Ohio politics and the two campaigns with Sanders. But Brown turned the campaign into a referendum on President Biden, reminding voters that Turner had criticized him and cast a protest vote against the 2020 Democratic platform. Brown was ahead of Turner by 6 points when the race was officially called. In a concession speech, Turner said the country had been through a desert of despair, indifference, inequality, and racism. Tonight, my friends, we have looked across the promised land, but for this campaign, on this night, we will not cross the river. Now, again, the moderate candidate caught up to the radical candidate after James Clyburn endorsed her and after the Democratic Majority for Israel's PAC ran ads warning that Turner could undermine the Democratic agenda. Brown's campaign emphasized support for Biden and said that Turner was simply too radical, and thus Turner went down to flaming defeat. And yet, strangely enough, again, in elite circles, there seems to be more sympathy for the Bernie Sanders wing of the party than for the traditional sort of Joe Biden wing of the party, which is why it's been very weird to watch the continued fealty to Cori Bush. So Cori Bush is this radical Missouri congressperson. She got her start being a Black Lives Matter activist, and then she's become this very loud adjunct member of the squad. She's the second wave member of the squad. The squad existed, and then she was recently elected to Congress, was Cori Bush. And, of course, she made headlines this week when she camped out on the steps of the Capitol building to protest evictions. And then the Biden administration announced that in defiance of the Constitution of the United States, Joe Biden would simply declare an eviction moratorium, even if it would be struck down by the Supreme Court itself. And here's the thing. Why would you follow Cori Bush down this primrose path at all? Cori Bush is terrible. Her policies are not in line with what the vast majority of Americans want. The entire Democratic Party has spent the last few months attempting, for example, to run headlong away from the defund the police sloganeering of people like Cori Bush and AOC and Ilhan Omar and Rashida Tlaib. And yet, when it comes to much of their policy, they seem to be following the lead of the squad. And every so often, Cori Bush will just Leroy Jenkins it. Right? Every so often, the Democratic Party will be like, guys, we don't need to do this defund the police stuff because it polls really bad. You know, let's do this policy stuff in the dead of night when not a lot of people are watching, but let's not campaign as overtly radical. Let's not do that. And then Cori Bush will be like, Leroy Jenkins, and just rush in, you know, face first. So that's what happened yesterday. Cori Bush was doing an interview, and she declared that she wanted to defund the police. But she didn't just say that. She said, I pay for security. I have taxpayer-funded security. I need security. But you, the regular people, you don't need police. We should defund the police.
I'm going to make sure I have security because I know I have had attempts on my life and I have too much work to do. There are too many people that need help right now for me to allow that. So if I end up spending $200,000, if I spend $10 more dollars on it, you know what? I get to be here to do the work. So suck it up, and defunding the police has to happen. We need to defund the police and put that money into social safety nets because we're trying to save lives.
So in the exact same sentence where she says that she deserves $200,000 of security, she says that you should not have security. Why are the Democrats following this? And here's the thing. I think the reason that the Democrats have decided that they're going to treat the squad and the radical left of their own party with respect is not really for electoral benefit so much as it is about the belief by the Democrats that anytime somebody on the right has a critique, the critique has to be false. There's a really interesting piece today over at a Substack called The Liberal Patriot by a guy named Roy Teixeira. Now, Roy Teixeira is a major Democrat. Like, Roy Teixeira is one of the people who used to write essays about the Browning of America and how demographic change was eventually going to lead to this magical democratic utopia. Well, now he is warning that Democrats are completely disconnected from reality, that they have fallen into what he calls the Fox News fallacy. Here's what he says. He says, the Fox News fallacy is having a dire effect on many Democrats. This is the idea that if Fox News, substitute here the conservative bete noir of your choice if you prefer, criticizes the Democrats for X, there must be absolutely nothing to X. And the job of Democrats is to assert that, loudly and often. The problem is that an issue is not necessarily completely invalid just because Fox News mentions it. That depends on the issue. If there's something to the issue and persuadable voters have real concerns, you will not allay those concerns by embracing the Fox News fallacy. In fact, you'll probably intensify them by giving such voters the impression that Democrats simply don't care about their concerns and will do nothing to address them. That will undermine the Democrats' ability to respond to predictable attacks against their candidates in 2022 and raise the likelihood of a midterm debacle. And he cites a few examples of this. One of them is crime. He points out that a lot of people on the right have been pointing out the rising crime rates in major cities around the United States. And yet Democrats continue to proclaim over and over and over again that there really is no big crime problem, that the crime problem is all just made up by the Fox News crowd. And this is not going to redound to the Democrats' benefit. Another example of what Roy Teixeira calls the Fox News fallacy is the immigration issue, he says. The Biden administration has resisted and still resists calling the situation at the Mexican border a crisis and initially insisted that the surge at the border would go away on its own as the hot weather season arrived. This was the line most Democrats adhered to, invoking the idea the issue was more a Fox News talking point than a real problem. It's now apparent the border surge is not going away anytime soon and that the perceived liberalization of the border regime under the Biden administration has indeed spurred more migrants to try their luck at the border, and it's not going away with the hot weather. The Washington Post reports officials have made more than 1 million apprehensions at the southwest border this fiscal year as of June. 210,000 more individuals probably crossed in July. This is the highest monthly encounter number since fiscal year 2000. And there's a reason why Joe Biden's approval rating on immigration is now at 37% up, 52% down. He is only at 30% approval rating among independents, by the way. And critical race theory is another issue where Democrats are completely missing the boat. Because Republicans mention it, Democrats have decided that this is no longer worth concerning themselves over. There's almost a sort of bizarre, it's like a bizarre reverse psychology effect here that Democrats are falling prey to. The minute that Republicans say something is a problem, Democrats immediately declare that not only is it not a problem, it's something good. So if we say that the squad is completely radical and proposing policies that are ridiculous on their face, the Democrats say that we're making it up. And then the American people know we're not making it up because they have eyes, they have ears, they can see it happening. By the way, this also happens in reverse, right? This is not unique to the left. The right has this as well. If the left makes a criticism of the right that has some legitimacy to it, very often people on the right will just go, well, if the left is saying it, it must be false. Well, no, it might be false, but that doesn't mean it definitely is false. Right now, for the Biden administration, however, they are falling into a real political trap here because they are so attached to the idea that Fox News is the font of all evil and shows like this one are not worth listening to, and that anyone who disagrees with them is a vicious bigot. They're so attached to that idea that they are disregarding the fact that many, many Americans agree that their agenda has skewed far too radical. Right? As Roy Teixeira points out, this is certainly true with regard to critical race theory. Right? The American people do not like critical race theory. The polling data shows this stuff is really, really unpopular. It's unpopular in Virginia. And Roy Teixeira concludes, Democrats who embrace the Fox News fallacy are inclined to believe there is no real issue here other than voters whipped up by Fox News who are simply opposed to teaching students about slavery and the like. That is a mistake and blinds Democrats to a real problem that is emerging. Generally, Democrats need to wean themselves away from the Fox News fallacy as a generic response to conservative attacks. This is exactly correct. But Democrats don't seem to be getting the message. Not with regard to the Cori Bush wing of the Democratic Party, and not with regard to COVID either. Because it turns out that a lot of the critiques from the right are steeped not in anti-vaxxerism. They are steeped in data. They are steeped in science. They're pointing out that there is a serious lack of data for much of what the left is calling for right now. And because the left doesn't like the right, they're just ignoring it. And they're pretending that they can dismiss all of that with the wave of a hand and everybody will just accept it. This is a bad political move for them. I mean, honestly, if they want to do it, go for it. It's just going to make a lot of lives worse, and then they're just going to get the ass-kicking they deserve come 2022. We'll get to more of this in just 1 second. First, when the world gets too loud, something you can always do, create your own soundtrack by popping in your Raycon wireless earbuds. Sometimes you just need some upbeat music to pump you up before you see people or to stay calm with some guided meditation. Let me tell you right now, Raycons are the best way to listen. They come with a bunch of gel tips for your comfort. Unlike some other brands, they don't stick out of your ears. Raycons have a 32-hour battery life, so you can listen to what you want, when you want, for a really long time. They start at half the price of other premium audio brands. They sound just as good. And Raycons come with a 45-day happiness guarantee, so you really cannot lose. Create your own soundtrack with Raycon. Right now, my listeners can get 15% off their Raycon order at buyraycon.com/Ben. That's buyraycon.com/Ben to save 15% on Raycons. Buyraycon.com/Ben. Go check them out right now. Buyraycon.com/Ben. A great pair of wireless earbuds. I mean, it can cost you an arm and a leg. There's no reason it has to. Check out my friends over at Raycon. My listeners get 15% off when they use buyraycon.com/Ben. That's buyraycon.com/Ben. Save 15%. Alrighty, coming up, it seems that the left in the United States is falling for the same Fox News fallacy we've been talking about when it comes to COVID as well. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Paid for by Bar Justice. Attention. Have you or a loved one been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months? Zantac may be linked to these cancers. Bladder, colorectal, esophageal, intestinal, kidney, liver, ovarian, pancreatic, stomach, testicular, and uterine. If you or a loved one have been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months, call now. Never stop taking medication without first consulting a physician. Call right now for a free consultation. Call 800-379-9550. 800-379-9550.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-785-9132. That's 800-785-9132. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-785-9132.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
So the dream was to build your very own law practice. Be your own boss, call all the shots. But have things like billing, HR, timekeeping, and all the other management stuff turned your dream into a nightmare? Take charge of your practice with Lexicon. We're the intersection of practice management software and legal support services for your firm. You'll get more billable and livable hours back. Lexicon marks the spot for all your practice management needs. Visit lexiconservices.com/intersection to get the whole story or schedule a demo.
Doctors Without Borders teams confront hard facts in conflict and crisis zones. When others look away, we step in to act. Because measles still kills more than 100,000 children every year, we're there to vaccinate more than 1 million. Because some countries have only one or two mental health professionals, we provided over 400,000 mental health consultations last year. The fact is, your support makes our life-saving work possible. Picture the impact we can have together. DoctorsWithoutBorders.org.
Welcome back to the Ben Shapiro Show. So Nate Silver, the pollster, has a really interesting take on how Americans break down in terms of COVID policy. He put out this really sort of fascinating analysis of where the American public falls on COVID restrictions. And here's what he says. And it's worthy of exploring because I basically agree with this analysis. He says that there are essentially five groups in American life when it comes to these COVID lockdowns. Group A, he says about 25% of the electorate. This would be like the hard left. This is vaccinated, but not ready for a return to normal and thinks society has opened up too fast. They're very worried about Delta, in favor of any and all restrictions, including lockdowns and remote learning. Some of this group will transition into group B when and if cases start falling. Okay, group B is the biggest single group. It's about 30%. These are the vaccinated, somewhat worried about Delta, in favor of modest restrictions like indoor masking, especially if they target the unvaccinated. At the same time, they don't want to return to lockdowns, although some could drift into group A, like they could be more hard on lockdowns if cases keep rising or if there are scary new variants. This is quickly becoming the consensus position among college-educated elites. Okay, then there's group C, about 15% of the population. This is the vaccinated but over the pandemic population and wary of restrictions, likely a mix of younger voters who don't vote at high rates and some center-right libertarian types. Okay, I fall into this category, right? I am group C. I'm vaccinated. I'm over the pandemic. I believe the science does not support continued lockdowns. Not only do I think that it doesn't support continued lockdowns, I think that as a public policy matter, we are now done. You know who agrees with me would be Dr. Marty McCary of Johns Hopkins University. He has an excellent piece over at U.S. News and World Report today. He points out that as a physician with a lot of experience dealing with patients who don't follow what we ask them to do, I believe you win more bees with honey than fire. He says the vaccines are so good at protecting against death from COVID-19, those who are immune can feel good about living life without having to worry about becoming severely ill. Vaccines downgrade the infection to a mild seasonal virus, one we must learn to live with for years to come. Those who choose not to get vaccinated are making a poor health decision at their own individual risk. Again, this is Dr. Marty McCary. They pose no public health threat to those already immune. Would we be so stern toward people making similar or worse health choices to smoke, drink alcohol, or not wear a helmet when riding a bike? Over 85,000 Americans die annually from alcohol, yet we don't have the same public health fervor or requirements to save those lives. Let's encourage vaccination rather than activate the personal liberty culture wars that result in people becoming more entrenched in their opposition. Also, says McCary, the notion we have to vaccinate every living, walking American and eventually every newborn in order to control the pandemic is based on the false assumption that the risk of dying from COVID-19 is equally distributed in the population. It's not. We have always known that. It's very hard for the virus to hurt someone who is young and healthy. That's still the case. While vaccine requirements for healthcare workers make sense, we would never extend those requirements outside of healthcare for, say, the flu shot. We'd simply say to the public, those who avoid the flu shot do so at their own risk. Okay, this is the rational decision. Okay, the rational decision here is to be part of what Nate Silver terms Group C, right? To get vaccinated, and then you're done. And if someone else chooses not to get vaccinated, it is no longer your business because you are now immune to dying from the virus on any baseline statistical level. Okay, and then there is Group D. This is 25% of the population. unvaccinated and strongly opposed to any restrictions. Right? So that would be a lot of the Trump rural voters, for example, right, who are like, listen, I was never that worried about the virus, or I'm young and healthy. I'm still not worried about the virus, and I'm not asking anything of you. By the way, the vast majority of people who are unvaccinated fall into Group D. And finally, Group E, the fifth group, Nate Silver, again, this is his breakdown. He said that's about 5% of the population. He says those are people who are unvaccinated, but in favor of other restrictions. Indeed, they may think such restrictions are necessary to protect them because they can't or won't get vaccinated. This group probably leans Democratic and working class. Right, so presumably that would be minority voters in major American cities, maybe, maybe. Okay, so here is the important part about this breakdown. What this breakdown suggests is that about 70% of the American population, 70% of the American population is against lockdowns. Right? The biggest group is vaccinated, and they're a little worried about Delta, but not super worried about Delta. And if they were actually given the information about how not dangerous Delta is to them as the vaccinated, they would be significantly less worried about Delta. Right? They keep getting scared by the media into a belief that there's a variant right around the corner that is going to break through the vaccines at any moment. By the way, if there is, we cannot do anything to stop that in the United States. We can't. There are literally hundreds of millions of people who have this virus or have had this virus or who will get this virus. All there has to be is one group of people somewhere on Earth who are not vaccinated in order for there to be a new variant possibility. If you're a vaccinated person, you should not be seriously worried about Delta in terms of your own personal risk level. And by the way, in terms of the risk level to your children, because the stats on children being directly harmed by Delta are very, very skimpy. Remember, under 350 kids under the age of 18 in the United States have died of COVID, period, in the entire United States. Okay, so that means that 70% of the population is just not in favor of these sorts of lockdowns and mask mandates or anything like that. But because the right is saying that, the left feels the need to ignore that 70% of the population or try to scare Group B, the vaccinated, who are somewhat cautious, into being Group A, vaccinated who want a lockdown, which is the least understandable of any of these groups. That position makes no sense. Vaccinated people who want lockdowns are just out of touch with reality at this point. They don't care about the science. They're not interested in the science. But it seems like our public health establishment are so angry at so much of the American population for being over it that they're just going to continue to try and scare people. They're falling into the Fox News fallacy. Just because people like me are on the right, and people like me, I've been encouraging vaccinations since day one. People like Ron DeSantis, been encouraging vaccinations since day one. Just because there are a lot of people on the right who are pro-vaccine and also believe that the vaccine frees you up for life and that if you're a responsible adult, you now get to make a decision, the left has decided that they are going to go full lockdown. Hey, this is why you have this heavy pressure campaign being brought with regard to the unvaccinated, right? So Anthony Fauci, the great and sainted Dr. Anthony Fauci, he spent today ripping the unvaccinated and suggesting that they are going to be responsible for a brand new variant of Delta and that this is going to kill everybody. This is not effective. It's not. You know what? Honestly, you start to see some upticks in the number of people who are getting vaccinated. You know why? Because people are assessing their personal risk factors and deciding that perhaps they ought to get vaccinated, not because they're getting shouted at by Dr. Anthony Fauci, but because people do risk mitigation. It's how humanity has survived for several hundred thousand years. And here's Anthony Fauci going hard after the unvaxxed anyway.
My concern would be you may allow a variant that we haven't even recognized yet to come along and, in fact, be better at transmitting and more serious than the Delta. We haven't seen that yet. So rather than be worrying about these others that are around, let's make sure we don't let new ones come in.
Well, are unvaccinated people the reason we're seeing these new strains? And will an increase in vaccinations mitigate the virus morphing in multiple ways?
Well, that's a good one, because the answer is short, yes.
Okay, except for the fact that no matter how many vaccines you trash out in the United States, there's still going to be variants other places on Earth. Zero COVID is not a realistic goal. Fauci knows this. He's not saying that because that would suggest that we have basically reached the end of what we can do in terms of public policy, and he doesn't want to let go of it. He just does not want to let go of it. By the way, you're seeing companies start to mirror that Group A, that Group A sort of mentality. Vaccinated, but still in favor of lockdown. Amazon says it's now going to delay corporate employees returning to offices until next year, which is just madness at this point. And the average Amazon employee is probably 25 years old. Alrighty, coming up, the left continues to push more and more lockdowns despite the data. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Did the Redding summer heat put a toll on your vehicle? Is your paint faded, peeling, or even scratched up? It'll get worse faster than you think. You may think it's way too expensive to have painted. Well, think again. You can bring it to Maaco here in Redding and get a professional paint job and save big with their $4.99 special. Maaco also has interest-free loans for up to a year OAC. Maaco, America's Body Shop, 3045 Crossroads Drive. Uh-oh. Better call Maaco, 226-0992. Have you been involved in a minor accident and find it's not big enough to go through your insurance company? Bring it to Maaco and get it fixed at a fraction of the cost. Remember, it's your choice where you go to have your vehicle repaired. Call Maaco for uncompromised quality, quick turnaround times, and all work backed by the National Maaco Warranty. Maaco, America's Body Shop. Stop in at 3045 Crossroads Drive or call 226-0992. Uh-oh. Better call Maaco, 226-0992.
It's a bright new day. The sun is shining. The birds are singing. And there's never been a better day to try Mount Shasta spring water. Hi, I'm Bob the Drop. I come from a protected spring at the base of Mount Shasta. I'm bottled at the source. It doesn't get more cool and refreshing than that. And it's delivered right to your door. Yep, pure and simple. Naturally, the best. Start your bright new day by calling 1-800-922-6227 to order some of the best tasting water on the planet. Mount Shasta spring water.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m., right after the news, for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide three delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
As restrictions continue to be lifted in Shasta County, many businesses are set to reopen, and KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and KCNR1460.com wants to help spread the word. So, if you are reopening your business, planning on opening a business for the first time, or are already open for business, KCNR has many advertising packages to choose from. Give us a call at 530-605-4565 and talk to a KCNR representative today. That's 530-605-4565.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
I'm Arielle Winter. If you're anything like me, your pets are not only your best friends, they're part of your family. American Humane, which has been rescuing animals like Cleo here for more than 100 years, has life-saving tips that can make a big difference in a disaster. When disaster strikes, you want to protect your whole family, including your pets. To help keep your family safe and help our best friends in their worst times, find tips at AmericanHumane.org.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So the left has decided that it's not just that they are against anything anyone on the right says. They specifically really don't like Ron DeSantis, the governor of Florida. There's more and more of a push, like day in and day out, more and more of a push to lock people down, mask people up. This is not borne out by reality. Okay, right now there's this continued focus, for example, on Florida. You've noticed. Okay, and this continued focus on Florida is largely because Joe Biden is very much afraid of Governor Ron DeSantis in Florida, who's a popular governor of Florida. The media every so often decide to focus in on a surge in Florida. They never focus on the overall death stats, because if they did, they would realize that Florida, with the second oldest population in America, really the oldest because they're a very large state with a lot of old people, Florida currently ranks 26th in the death per million rate, as opposed to New York and New Jersey, which rank respectively 2 and 1 in the death per million rate. So instead, every time there's a Florida surge, the media cover it, and then they yell at Ron DeSantis a lot. And Joe Biden jumped in on that. His suggestion, of course, is that if there were just mask mandates in Florida, that would kill the spread. Okay, there's only one problem. There is no proof that mask mandates have done this anywhere. There is no proof that mask mandates are effective. That doesn't mean masks aren't effective. Masks may be effective in certain circumstances, although the reality is Delta, because it's so transmissible, there are serious questions about whether masking is even super effective with regard to this. I'm not saying that. Professor William Hazeltine, formerly of Harvard Medical School, is saying that. He's saying Delta's going right through surgical masks, for example.
Another question you should ask when people come into your house or workmen come in. Are you vaccinated and will you wear your mask, please? I think that's another really important question for personal safety. Please wear your mask, and hopefully it's an N95 mask, because Delta has the propensity to go through some of the surgical mask, for example. It's not as good protection as it used to be. You're spewing out 1,000 times more virus than you did before, and so you need a tougher mask.
Okay, by the way, there's not a single child in America, right? When they're talking about kids wearing masks in schools, kids are not wearing N95s. Kids are wearing cloth masks. I know, my kids wore cloth masks all of last year. They wore it at summer camp this year as well, because the camp they went to was hyperactive about this sort of stuff. Okay, but Joe Biden is targeting Ron DeSantis over this. So you remember a couple of days ago, he ripped DeSantis. DeSantis pushed back on him. Well, now Joe Biden forgot who Ron DeSantis is. Now, I'm just going to play you this clip. I think there's at least a 50-50 shot that Joe Biden is being honest, and he literally does not remember who Ron DeSantis is. And that's not because he doesn't know who DeSantis is. It's because Joe Biden is not with us and has not been with us for quite some time. Here's the president of the United States.
DeSantis, who is using your words about don't be in the way, and he's saying, I am in the way to block too much interference from the federal government. Your response, Mr. President?
Governor who?
DeSantis.
Governor who? Oh, the guy that you were targeting, you know, from the White House? Joe Biden has been losing that exchange, and so he has to do Governor who. But, again, this is a case where the left refuses to acknowledge the realities on the ground. One of those realities is that the R rate in Florida is apparently waning. The R rate is the reproduction rate of the particular virus. Okay, when there's a massive spread, that means that people are spreading it to more and more people. Okay, already it seems as though Florida is now on the downslope of that. Now, that doesn't mean that infections are on the downslope in Florida. It means that infections in the next couple of weeks are likely to start declining, and declining pretty markedly, as they have in a wide variety of other countries already. In fact, Florida healthcare CEOs, they're already saying, like, despite the media coverage, that Florida hospitals are completely overwhelmed, there's no room, people are dying in the aisles. Okay, that's not true. Here are Florida healthcare CEOs yesterday talking about how, yes, of course, they're busier with COVID, they're seeing more cases, but they still have capacity.
Our ICUs last time around were running 40% of our inpatients. Right now we're down to 25% of our inpatients in ICUs. Other hospitals in South Florida are seeing even less numbers than that, between 15 and 20% of their patient ICUs.
Well, Ron DeSantis points this out as well. He says the media is spreading misinformation about Florida being overwhelmed. He says Florida is not actually overwhelmed at this point. That doesn't mean that Florida hasn't had to shift capacity. But this is not like it was back during January, where the hospitals were actually in danger of being, you know, sort of in overflow territory.
We've had seen significant increases in COVID patients, but as the CEO of Tampa General said, that's 10 to 15% of their total census. And it's important when the media is spreading this misinformation and actually lying, it could deter someone from going in to get care for things like heart problems or stroke. And so all those CEOs said, we are treating everybody. We're open for business. You know, we're busier with COVID than we were 6 weeks ago, but please come in and get care.
Okay, the point here is that when it comes to the so-called Fox News fallacy being described by Roy Teixeira, when it comes to COVID, it's the DeSantis fallacy. Whatever DeSantis says must be treated by the media as though it is completely outrageous, even though a huge majority of Americans kind of agree with it. And again, if you take a look at that Nate Silver breakdown, again, you will see that 70% of Americans are pretty skeptical of a lot of the measures that are being recommended. And if that 30% of people who are like in favor of some mild measures, particularly for the unvaccinated, if they actually knew about their own risk factors, I have a feeling a lot of those people would be in my category of vaccinated, I'm done. Okay, but the left can't let go of it because DeSantis is bad. And so you have CNN's national security analyst, for example, telling the unvaccinated that we should actually stop them from flying at this point. One of the CNN security analysts, he said, there's no such thing as a federal mandate, but the federal government can use carrots and sticks and privileges and burdens. One of the areas where it can do that is on airline travel, because the U.S. government sets the rules and conditions for it. Here's the thing about airline travel. Airline travel has been pretty damn safe since the beginning of the pandemic. Okay, there have been no data linking airline travel, like people getting COVID on planes. Okay, that is not, so far as we are aware, a main vector of transmission. And there have been multiple studies done on this. One of the reasons is because planes have excellent HEPA filters. They're filtering the entire air of the plane, like every 3 or 4 minutes. So the notion that we have to shut down air travel for the unvaccinated is really kind of silly, and particularly if you're doing that on behalf of the vaccinated, which is really silly. Also, you have people like, again, the DeSantis effect here, the Department of Education head, Miguel Cardona, saying that it's because of DeSantis that schools might shut down in Florida. Are you kidding? DeSantis is the only one who kept schools open. You guys shut down all the schools last year for no damned reason. You shut them down in California the entire year. You shut them down in New York for the entire year. And it's Ron DeSantis who's going to shut down education? You literally had the CDC writing school reopening guidelines along with the American Federation of Teachers and putting in a bunch of anti-scientific nonsense and blatherskite about social distancing small children and having them use plexiglass. And it's Ron DeSantis who's going to shut down. I mean, the gaslighting here is really extraordinary. Here's the Department of Education head, Miguel Cardona, going after DeSantis.
Don't be the reason why schools are interrupted. Our kids have suffered enough. Let's do what we know works. Let's do what we know works across the country. We shouldn't get politics doesn't have a role in this.
Politics doesn't have a role in this? Really, doesn't it? You literally wrote the CDC guidance with help from people who want to continue to shut down the schools. The DeSantis effect is just the Fox News effect. That's all this is. That's all it is. And it's getting even worse. Now the Democrats have decided they're going to full-scale embrace vaccine passports. In fact, MSNBC's Stephanie Ruhle, objective journalisming, she says, I don't even understand the argument against vaccine passports. Don't you, though? Like, I can explain it really, really quickly to you. It turns out that if you tell everybody who's vaccinated, they get to go all the special places, and everybody else who's unvaccinated has to hang out together, you're going to get a faster spread. Do you understand? I did it in small words and short sentences so that you could understand. Here's Stephanie Ruhle saying she literally doesn't understand why a vaccine passport is a bad idea. By the way, Israel has been doing vaccine passports again, and Israel is now going to full lockdown probably at the beginning of the holidays in September. Here is Stephanie Ruhle.
And I don't understand those who are against showing proof of vaccine. Have they never had to show their passport, show their ID, or take their kids to school? It makes no sense to me.
Oh, my God. These are the exact same people who say that it's racism to make you show your ID to vote. So let's just get this straight. It's racism to make you show your ID to vote because black people apparently are incapable of getting a voter ID. But it's not racism to make people show their vaccine card if they are unvaccinated. Disproportionately black people are unvaccinated in this country, particularly in major cities. You'll notice that there's a heavy crossover between black population in the United States and unvaccinated areas. There are two large groups of people in the U.S. who are not getting vaccinated at the same rates as everybody else. One is rural conservatives, and the other is inner city minorities. Those are the two unvaccinated groups in the United States, unvaccinated for wildly variant reasons, except that there's a common distrust of the government, I think, that runs through both. Pretty astonishing stuff. Meanwhile, Biden's COVID advisor, Jeffrey Zients, he says that Yelp is now going to let businesses list their vaccination policies. I've said before, I think this is a predicate to what comes next, which is this sort of social credit system where businesses are going to start basically carding you for a wide variety of social sins. This is just the beginning.
Businesses know vaccinations are a way to keep their workers and customers safe and to keep their doors open. And today, Yelp is announcing a new feature that allows consumers to search for businesses with fully vaccinated workers or businesses that require proof of vaccination to enter the business.
Again, so much of this is just being driven by, if Republicans oppose it, it must be good. The ultimate example of this was MSNBC's Chris Hayes. This was pretty hilarious. The other day, Chris Hayes attacked Marco Rubio for supposedly not pushing vaccines. There's only one problem with that, which is that he literally quoted Marco Rubio pushing vaccines. So Marco Rubio tweeted out, quote, "Stop with the mask fetish. If you want to wear a mask as a courtesy to those around you, or because you're in no mood to get even a little sick, go ahead. If you want your kids to mask in schools, that's your right. But we aren't going to mask your way out of this." Right? And then he concluded that people should actually vaccinate. Right? He finished by suggesting openly. He says, we're not going to mask your way out of this. And then he put up like an actual verbal statement in which he said at the very end that you should mask. Quote, "The answer here is not masks. As I said, you're not going to mask your way out of this. The answer here is vaccines. Get vaccinated. That's the answer." Chris Hayes naturally tweeted, "This is a really perfect example of the constant triangulating cowardice and whataboutism that's infected the entire party and movement. He can't just say, hey, get vaccinated. Have to find some way to own the libs." No, Chris, I have a feeling you're missing a mirror in your home. He literally says, get vaccinated, but you have to find a way to triangulate so as to blame Republicans for people not getting vaccinated, even when Republicans are telling people to get vaccinated. Okay, guys, if you want to keep going with the Fox News fallacy, all you, or the DeSantis fallacy, whatever you choose to call it, enjoy yourselves, because it is not going to redound to your benefit. Alrighty, in just 1 second, we'll get to the latest on Andrew Cuomo. Will he stay or will he go? I don't know. We'll get to that in 1 second first. A few decades ago, private citizens used to be that, private. What changed? Well, the internet changed. Think about everything you've browsed, searched for, watched, tweeted. Now imagine all that data being crawled through, collected, aggregated by third parties into a permanent public record. Your record. That's why to keep my data private when I go online, I turn to ExpressVPN. Did you know there are hundreds of data brokers out there whose sole business it is to buy and sell your data? The worst part? They don't have to tell you who you're selling it to or get your consent. One of those data points is your IP address, which data harvesters use to uniquely identify you and your location. But ExpressVPN reroutes my connection through an encrypted server. My IP address is masked. That makes it more difficult for third parties to identify me and harvest my data. The best part is how easy ExpressVPN is to use. No matter what device you are on, phone, laptop, smart TV, all you have to do is tap one button, and now you are protected. So, if, like me, you believe your data is your business, secure yourself with the number one rated VPN on the market. Visit expressvpn.com/ben. Get 3 extra months for free. That's expressvpn.com/ben. Go to expressvpn.com/ben to learn more. Alrighty, coming up, the big question for New York Governor Andrew Cuomo, will he stay or will he go? This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Paid for by Bar Justice. Attention. Have you or a loved one been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months? Zantac may be linked to these cancers. Bladder, colorectal, esophageal, intestinal, kidney, liver, ovarian, pancreatic, stomach, testicular, and uterine. If you or a loved one have been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months, call now. Never stop taking medication without first consulting a physician. Call right now for a free consultation. Call 800-379-9550. 800-379-9550.
What is POP Earth? POP Earth is short for Population Earth, a 501c3 nonprofit focused on providing holistic health services and options for those with special needs, including autism and other developmental disorders. Do you know someone ages 5 to 65 with a developmental disorder that could benefit from yoga, Reiki, dance, exercise, and massage therapy? These sessions help with coordination, balance, stress, and more. Learn more at popearth.org. That's popearth.org.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
So the dream was to build your very own law practice. Be your own boss, call all the shots. But have things like billing, HR, timekeeping, and all the other management stuff turned your dream into a nightmare? Take charge of your practice with Lexicon. We're the intersection of practice management software and legal support services for your firm. You'll get more billable and livable hours back. Lexicon marks the spot for all your practice management needs. Visit lexiconservices.com/intersection to get the whole story or schedule a demo.
We call him Willy Wonka.
He's a chocolate lab. His belly itched, and he would actually lay in the grass and scoot across it to scratch. And Sheba, his sister, she scratched at her ears real bad, and she shook her head so much, she wound up with cauliflower ears.
DinoVite.com. DinoVite is nutrition.
When we first got the DinoVite, they cleaned the bowls up real good. Her ears, they're a whole lot better. Wonka, his belly, it's all really cleaned up. He flops over and lays on his back and just kicks his legs, and I call it his happy dance. They look good and even smell good in between baths. You should give your dogs DinoVite before something happens. And that's kind of like preventative maintenance.
DinoVite for life.
It makes them healthier and happier.
You won't believe how happy your dog will be.
And your dogs will love it just like mine do.
DinoVite.com.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So here's the question. Will Andrew Cuomo stay or will he go? So that's up to the legislature at this point because he ain't going nowhere. I mean, there is no way he is going to quit. There is no political upside to quitting in American politics anymore. This started with Bill Clinton. There is now no standard as to when a politician should resign, right? When a politician is caught in flagrant delicto, the typical history of that was that up until Bill Clinton, people just quit. Bill Clinton did not quit. He stuck around. He kind of bulled his way forward through it, and he lived long enough to become a hero again with the Democratic Party base until the point where he became inconvenient, and then he was kind of jettisoned, and then he's still brought back from time to time when he is useful. And from that, politicians learned a very simple thing. Never resign. Right? Make them come and get you. And Andrew Cuomo is one of those politicians. And frankly, I don't blame him. You'll recall that Al Franken, the senator from Minnesota, he resigned after allegations that he was groping women during photo shoots and like grabbing their asses in the middle of photo lines and all this sort of stuff. And he resigned. And the real reason that he resigned was not because the Democrats had suddenly decided that ass grabbery was a real problem. The reason that he resigned is because his resignation came right in the middle of the Roy Moore controversy in Alabama. And the idea that the Democrats were trying to push is that Democrats were really good at policing their own in the Me Too moment, but Republicans were really bad at it. Well, as it turns out, Franken resigned. And then the Republicans actually were pretty good at policing the Me Too moment with Roy Moore. He was nominated for the Senate, and then he lost. And now there was a senator from Alabama who was a Democrat, right, named Doug Jones. So it turns out that was a waste. And ever since, Al Franken has been trying to climb his way back into politics. He says now that he regrets having resigned in the first place. Well, the same thing applies to Andrew Cuomo. Well, now it looks like the New York State Assembly is going to start its impeachment investigation. They announced that on Thursday. According to FoxNews.com, the Assembly Judiciary Committee had law firm Davis Polk & Wardwell conduct an independent inquiry and have asked Cuomo to provide any materials he would like to submit on his own behalf as the investigation comes to an end. The firm told Cuomo, quote, "We write to inform you that the committee's investigation is nearing completion and the Assembly will soon consider potential articles of impeachment against your client. Accordingly, we invite you to provide any additional evidence or written submissions you would like the committee to consider before its work concludes." The Assembly also stated its attorneys had issued a subpoena to Cuomo for materials related to their investigation, but that he hadn't turned anything over as of yet. Cuomo's senior advisor, a guy named Rich Azzopardi, responded on Thursday, quote, "The Assembly has said it is doing a full and thorough review of the complaints and has offered the governor and his team an opportunity to present facts and their perspective. The governor appreciates the opportunity. We will be cooperating. The Judiciary Committee for the New York State Assembly is set to meet on Monday. Once their investigation is finished, the 150-member Assembly would have to pass an impeachment resolution with a simple majority of 76 votes for the matter to go to the state Senate for a trial. Right now, there are already 80 Assembly members on record expressing support for the impeachment. Normally, the trial would be heard by the senators, the seven judges on the New York Court of Appeals, and the lieutenant governor. If the governor is the one under impeachment, the lieutenant governor and president pro tem, who is currently the Senate Majority Leader Andrea Stewart Cousins, are excluded because they're in the line of succession. Two-thirds of the court is needed to convict. That would be 46 votes. To date, there are 37 senators who have gone on record supporting the progression of the impeachment process. So this thing looks like it's sort of on knife's edge. And prominent Democrats who don't like Cuomo. And here's the real thing. No one likes Cuomo, right? If he were popular with his own party the way that Ralph Northam was, or even Justin Fairfax in Virginia, he'd be fine. The problem is that Andrew Cuomo has spent the last several years crapping all over everyone in the Democratic Party, and now they are coming for their revenge. Democratic Representative Kathleen Rice, who's a representative on the federal level, she says it's time to get Cuomo out of there.
The governor still has the same people around him who pretty much aided and abetted his behavior, as the report documents. And so the faster we get the governor out of office and all of those who worked for him and clean up the executive chamber, the better it's going to be for people who just want to work in government and work in public service. They shouldn't have to face going to a hostile, toxic work environment every day just to do their jobs.
Okay, Andrea Stewart-Cousins, who's the New York Senate Majority Leader, again, she won't be voting on this because she's in the line of succession. She says that Cuomo should resign because we can all see the writing on the wall at this point.
I think so many people who are involved, and we are watching it up close, and we know that this is not going to end well. This is why so many people are saying to the governor, step aside, resign now.
Okay, so I have a question. Do we really think the principle has broken out here? Or do we think that it's just a good time for Democrats to jettison Cuomo? They got what they wanted out of him last year. Now he's no longer useful to them. And so now they're going to dump his body by the side of the road. Now, there could be something good that theoretically comes out of this. Maybe there's a new standard. Maybe the new standard is that there is willingness to impeach people inside your own party when there's a full-scale documented investigation that demonstrates the guilt on a particular charge. And that's what it requires. Because here's the problem. There's been this gray area for a long time, and Biden illustrates it, right? Because there have been allegations about Joe Biden from Tara Reid, right, about him literally sexually assaulting her. And those were not taken supremely seriously. There was never a massive investigation, but he could rest on that, right? He could say there was never a massive investigation. She said something, I said something, that's pretty much it. So I'm not resigning. And nobody's really pressured him inside the Democratic Party to get out of the race. Kamala Harris did briefly, and then of course she flipped and she just was like, I'll be his vice president now. You remember that. Okay, so what is the new standard? Well, if the new standard is that we go through the entire investigative procedure and then we impeach, and under the threat of impeachment, people quit, I don't think that's a horrible standard. And I think, frankly, maybe that should be the new standard. But if the standard is just going to be that we discard politicians when they're no longer convenient, then I'm about as cynical about this as it's possible to be. I do not think that politicians have suddenly grown spines and have suddenly decided that they are, in fact, you know, folks who are trustworthy on matters of morality. Okay, meanwhile, speaking of Joe Biden, I don't think it's any wonder that as Joe Biden engages in the sort of DeSantis fallacy and the Fox News fallacy, his approval ratings continue to tank. According to John Nolte, his fraudulency, Joe Biden, is doing a terrible job. Even the far-left fake pollsters at Quinnipiac couldn't juice their latest poll to lift him over 50% approval rating. Quinnipiac is wildly biased toward Biden, as Nolte points out. In 2020, Quinnipiac had Biden winning Florida by 5, Trump won by 3. They had Biden winning Ohio by 4, Trump won by 8. Right, so Quinnipiac is very pro-Biden, and even they can't get Biden over 50% over that hump. And meanwhile, the Democrats know they are wedded to Joe Biden because lurking in the background is the deeply unlikable, terrible politician, Kamala Harris. In fact, it's so bad over at Democratic Party HQ that they had basically an emergency meeting over the weekend to ask what can be done about Kamala Harris. Here's what Axios reports, quote, a group of the Democratic Party's most influential women met for dinner at a home in the nation's capital last month to game out how to defend VP Kamala Harris and her chief of staff, Tina Flournoy, against a torrent of bad press. The host was Kiki McLean, Democratic public affairs expert, former advisor to both Clintons. Her guests included Harris confidant Minion Moore, two former DNC officials, Donna Brazile and Leah Daughtry, Biden advisor and leader of his outside group, Stephanie Cutter, former Hillary Clinton spokeswoman and Democratic strategist, Adrienne Elrod and Karen Finney, and former Obama White House communications director, Jennifer Palmieri. Nobody at the VP's office was at the dinner, but Harris is attuned to her outside network of supporters. Harris's office declined to comment on the dinner. The dinner had an urgent purpose, according to Axios. The operatives spent the dinner discussing how to fight back against negative perceptions, how to help Harris boost her national media footing. They're trying to figure out exactly how they help Harris, but they're having some problems. Right? One of these sources said, many of us lived through the Clinton campaign and want to help curb some of the gender dynamics in press coverage. It was like, we've seen this before. It's subtle. When things aren't going well for a male politician, we ask very different questions, et cetera, et cetera. But bottom line is, Democrats are scared bleepless about the possibility of Kamala Harris running in 2024. They are wedded, for better or worse, to the old man. The problem is the old man is engaging in that Fox News fallacy. He is engaging in radical policy day in and day out. He's undercutting the only reason why Americans like him in the first place, namely that he was supposed to be a houseplant. He is not being a houseplant, and it is not going to end well for him. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstrup. President Biden cheering the latest jobs numbers that came out earlier this morning, but he warns the Delta variant remains an obstacle.
The president welcomed news that 943,000 jobs were added in July, and he took credit for the economic recovery.
What is indisputable now is this. The Biden plan is working.
But the president also said there's hard work left to do. He called on Congress to approve an infrastructure bill, and he appealed to unvaccinated Americans to get their COVID-19 shots. Greg Clugston, The White House.
Texas Democrats who spent nearly a month in Washington blocking a GOP voting bill back home are not saying whether they'll return this weekend. Republican Governor Greg Abbott ordered a new special session to begin tomorrow. It'll be the third time Texas Republicans have tried passing new election laws after Democrats torpedoed the first two attempts by walking out. Another major company is requiring employees to get vaccinated against COVID-19.
United Airlines will require U.S.-based employees to be fully vaccinated by October 25th at the latest. CEO Scott Kirby says he knows some employees will disagree with the decision, but it's clear everyone is safer when everyone is vaccinated. United has 67,000 employees in the U.S. It estimates close to 90% of its pilots and 80% of its flight attendants are already vaccinated. A United executive says the airline has no plans to require passengers be vaccinated, calling that a government decision. I'm Ben Thomas.
Hiroshima today marked the 76th anniversary of the world's first atomic bombing. As the mayor of the Japanese city urged global leaders to unite to eliminate nuclear weapons, just as they are uniting today against the coronavirus. Be sure to check out the latest news and read the best analysis at townhall.com.
Thing involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors. Past results do not guarantee future performance.
Traders, listen up. As life in America starts to return to normal, are you looking for the best trading opportunities? With the current real estate market, the rise of crypto, and the volatility of tech stocks, it's virtually impossible to guess what will happen next. With Vantage Point, you don't have to. Text the word money to 813-813 to learn how our technology analyzes over 1 million data points per day. Text the word money to 813-813 so you can learn how to predict market trends up to 3 days in advance with incredible accuracy. Whether you're trading stocks, options, Forex, futures, or crypto, Vantage Point's patented artificial intelligence can give you a massive edge. Text money to 813-813 to find out how to maximize your gains. Text the word money to 813-813 to learn how to use the volatility to your advantage. Don't wait. Text the word money to 813-813 now.
By texting in, you consent to receive calls, voice, and text messages using automated technology regarding offers by or on behalf of Vantage Point.
Italy now requires a COVID-19 green pass for museums, indoor dining, and much else.
Pompeii's archaeological park offers free swab tests. A so-called green pass is now required to enter sites, gyms, theatres, and some areas of restaurants, bars, and cafes. To obtain a certificate, individuals must show they received at least one dose of a coronavirus vaccine approved for use in the EU, recovered from COVID-19 in the past 6 months, or have negative lab results from a test done within the previous 48 hours. I'm Charles de Ledesma.
Thousands jammed coronavirus vaccination centers in the Philippine capital, defying social distancing restrictions, after false news spread that unvaccinated residents would be deprived of cash aid or barred from leaving home during a two-week lockdown that started today. Breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. Some military members are calling their lawyers now that the government's working on making COVID-19 shots mandatory for service members.
The law firm Tully Rinke, with offices across the country, says it's heard from hundreds of soldiers, Marines, and sailors who want to know whether they can take legal action if ordered to get the COVID vaccine. Some say they're not sure it's safe. Others don't trust what they call the government's vaccine. But some active duty troops say accommodating unvaccinated members would be a burden. Dr. Shannon Stacy is a Los Angeles emergency medicine physician and a former flight surgeon for a Marine squadron. She says COVID-19 has the potential to take a fully trained unit from mission-ready to non-deployable in a matter of days. I'm Rita Foley.
Looking for something to do? NASA is looking for a few people to spend a year pretending they're isolated on Mars. More on these stories at townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra.
This is RC from Tobacco and Brew, bringing you this month's Cigar of the Humidor. Today's review is Michelef Grande Bold, a classic Maduro stick with a rich, dark, oily Ecuadorian broadleaf wrapper surrounding Nicaragua's best tobacco. Full-bodied and full-flavor, your palate will delight with hints of dark chocolate, nuts, and cedar. Come down to the best cigar shop around, Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
Hi, I'm Arielle Winter. If you're anything like me, your pets are not only your best friends, they're part of your family. American Humane, which has been rescuing animals like Cleo here for more than 100 years, has life-saving tips that can make a big difference in a disaster. When disaster strikes, you want to protect your whole family, including your pets. To help keep your family safe and help our best friends in their worst times, find tips at AmericanHumane.org.
Hey, and welcome. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Today's show is sponsored by ExpressVPN. Don't let big tech track what you do. Anonymize your web browsing at expressvpn.com/Ben. Well, you know, I've been hearing that Ron DeSantis is just the worst, right? He's the worst. It's because of Ron DeSantis. That's why everything is going wrong, apparently. Well, I have some bad news for those who think this. According to Alexander Nazarian over at Yahoo News, quote, top public health officials are warning about an alarming rise in COVID cases, hospitalizations, and deaths, figures that represent a bitter setback in the fight to end the pandemic. Across the board, we are seeing increases in cases and hospitalizations in all age groups, CDC Director Rochelle Walensky said during a Thursday briefing by the White House pandemic response team. She noted that as of Monday, a full 83% of all counties in the United States were experiencing substantial or high transmission of COVID, a trend driven almost entirely by the virus's Delta variant. Wait, let me say that again. 83% of all counties in the United States were experiencing substantial or high transmission. Now, last I checked, 83% of all counties in the U.S. are not in Florida, or Florida and Texas, as it turns out. It turns out there's a lot of transmission of COVID right now, particularly among the unvaccinated. Why? Well, because it's very, very transmissible. Now, here's the thing. This should not be cause for panic. It should not be cause for panic because, number one, you should go get vaccinated if you have not already. And number two, the vast majority of cases, even among the unvaccinated, do not end with hospitalization and death. And number three, if you're already vaccinated, you really don't have much to worry about. But that is not the message. The discouraging news, according to Yahoo News, is a refutation to earlier, rosier predictions. From the beginning, we have known this virus is unpredictable, White House Pandemic Response Coordinator Jeff Zients said on Thursday, though he argued that the administration's relentless vaccination push was showing fresh signs of progress. I do love when the parade is just going and then Joe Biden stumbles in front of it. No, the reason people are getting the vaccine right now is not because Joe Biden is such a convincing and charismatic speaker. It's because as people see COVID spreading, people go and get the vaccines. End of story. We'll have herd immunity by April, went the headline of a Wall Street Journal op-ed published on February 18th, 2021. Vaccines were just becoming widely available. The winter surge appeared to be subsiding. Dr. Marty Makary, who is a friend to the program, had suggested that the country was racing toward an extremely low level of infection. This turned out to be incorrect, but you know what was not incorrect? That we are not experiencing mass death in the United States right now. We are not. Okay, again, I'm just going to, like, I feel like it's necessary to keep updating you on the number of COVID deaths per day in the United States. We are currently experiencing a seven-day rolling average of about 440 deaths per day in the United States from COVID. Again, at the height of the pandemic, we were in the neighborhood of, like, some days 5,000 deaths. We were averaging upwards of 3,000 deaths. We are still at like one-tenth of that rate, one-ninth of that rate. This notion that people are just dying en masse in the United States is not correct. We are seeing vast caseloads, and those vast caseloads are not translating into a similar kind of death because, again, the infections are now concentrated with a much younger and healthier population. To be sure, says Yahoo News, there are reasons for optimism, including when it comes to inoculation rates that had been stagnant for weeks. Notably, according to Zients, vaccinations had increased in Georgia, Oklahoma, and Tennessee, where infections have recently soared. Well, yeah, right, because when people feel threatened, they go and get vaccinated. According to the CDC, only about 50% of all Americans are fully vaccinated. That figure does not account for those who have natural immunity from having fought off COVID-19, and it doesn't actually count any of the kids. So when you talk about the actual number of people over 18 who are vaccinated, you're talking well in excess of 70% between COVID immunity, natural COVID immunity, and vaccines. You're talking, I'm sure, well in excess of 80%. at this point. But herd immunity is not really going to kick in, it appears, at any point here. Instead, basically, if you got the vaccine, it protects you. If you don't got the vaccine, it ain't protecting you. End of story. There's been a 40% increase in the 7-day average of new hospitalizations last week compared to the week ending June 26th, a 39.3% rise in deaths. Okay, but again, that's a 40% rise in deaths as compared to an extremely low level just a couple of weeks ago. So the kind of notion that we are still, you know, all going to die, it's all going to be the end of the world, I'm not seeing it, guys. I'm not. Like, I understand that y'all want to panic. And yeah, I know that y'all want to, like, blame Ron DeSantis for all of this, but I'm looking right now. There's a site called covidestim.org that does analysis of COVID in real detail and looks at the effective reproduction number. And what that is showing right now is that in a lot of the states where you saw a pretty significant uptick here, you're already seeing this thing on the wane. That's true in Alabama. It's certainly true in Arkansas, where you're seeing the R really drop off over the last couple of weeks. You're starting to see it on the wane in California. It's on the rise in Colorado, but it's on the wane in D.C. It's on the wane, by the way, pretty significantly in Florida at this point. It's reaching a peak in Georgia and will soon be on the wane there. So, I think that we're near the end of this, closer to the end of this than the beginning of this, for sure, when it comes to the Delta variant. But panic is the order of the day. Meanwhile, we keep being told that government has this thing under control, and if you just listen to the government, everything will be all better. Well, I have a story from New York that's somewhat disquieting. Remember, New York has said that you need a vaccine passport now, right? They're big into the vaccine passports. You must have a vaccine. Very important. Vaccine passport. There's only one problem. The vaccine passport kind of sucks. According to Fox5NY.com, most of us in New York City know we're less than 2 weeks away from having to prove that we're vaccinated to dine or exercise indoors. Far fewer of us have figured out or understand exactly how we'll show restaurants and fitness studios we've received all of our shots, according to Mac King at Fox5NY. So, according to Fox5NY, the NYC COVID Safe app allows users to upload a photo of their COVID-19 vaccine card and then flash the image in the app to enter a vaccine-requiring establishment. It's not connected to the Internet, said Bill de Blasio. Can't be hacked. Is that true? No, says Surveillance Technology Oversight Project founder and executive director Albert Foxconn. That statement from a technical perspective doesn't make any sense. Conn read New York City's COVID Safe's terms and conditions, and found that the city's app internet-enabled to document one IP address every time one opens it. He also uploaded a photo of Mickey Mouse in place of his vaccine card. The app approved Mickey with 3 green check marks, leaving Khan confused as to why the city developed its own app at all. So, really well done. More than 3 million New Yorkers have already downloaded the state's Excelsior Pass. The governor announced Excelsior Plus on Thursday, allowing New Yorkers to use Excelsior at select locations around the world. But Khan is worried that that app's security is very hackable. He can hack it with the user's permission in just under 11 minutes. Okay, so the city really has not made clear exactly how staff are supposed to verify this sort of stuff. Are people going to be punished for not upholding the vaccine card, passport, and all the rest? But yeah, I'm not surprised that the city that was unable to pull off a basic mayoral election in decent ways is now having a tough time with the every single person needs to show their vaccine card. Really well done here. Impressive stuff. By the way, we'll get to Los Angeles in just 1 second. LA is getting very aggressive as well. First, let us talk about protecting your internet safety and security. A few decades ago, private citizens used to be largely that, just private. Well, what's changed? The internet. Think about everything you've browsed, searched for, watched, or tweeted now. Imagine all that data being crawled through, collected, aggregated by third parties into a permanent public record, your record. That's why to keep my data private when I go online, I turn to ExpressVPN. Did you know there are hundreds of data brokers out there whose sole business is to buy and sell your data? The worst part is they don't have to tell you who they're selling it to or get your consent. One of those data points is your IP address, which data harvesters use to uniquely identify you and your location. But ExpressVPN reroutes my connection through an encrypted server. My IP address is masked. That makes it more difficult for third parties to identify me and harvest my data. The best part is how easy ExpressVPN is to use. No matter what device you are on, phone, laptop, smart TV, all you have to do is tap one button and you'll get protected. So if, like me, you believe your data is your business, secure yourself with the number one rated VPN on the market. Visit expressvpn.com/Ben. Get 3 extra months for free. That's expressvpn.com/Ben. Go to expressvpn.com/Ben to learn more right now. So LA. So I'm out in LA right now. And I got to tell you, it is super annoying. So I'm vaccinated, as you all know. My wife's vaccinated. Parents are vaccinated. I'm a big vaccine advocate. They've got these universal masking rules at all the restaurants now. So if you go to, like, a local coffee bean and you start to walk in, they'll start tutting you about masking. And I got to say, it's super irritating. It really is. Because everyone can get a vaccine now. So what the hell are we doing? Why are we doing this? Well, L.A. is now contemplating additional actions. Officials hope will help blunt the transmission of the highly contagious Delta variant. Now, I'm going to give you L.A. County's COVID death stats right now. Their seven-day rolling average in Los Angeles County, a county of, once again, 10 million people. Their seven-day rolling death average is 9. 9 out of 10 million people. Which means it's time for some brand new restrictions, gang. The county was ahead of the curve in mid-July when it began requiring everyone to wear masks in indoor public spaces, says the LA Times. But while officials acknowledged it would likely take a few weeks to assess the full effects of that mandate, they're already eyeing other measures to turn the tide of the pandemic. I love that. Officials acknowledged it would likely take a few weeks to assess the full effects of the mandate. Weird. I can assess right now the full effect of the mandate. All I have to do is look at the case rates. And you know what I'm seeing? A steady uptick in case rates over the last couple of weeks. Weird. Weird. I was informed that mask mandates are the be-all end-all. Two LA City Council members are now introducing a proposal to require proof of COVID-19 inoculation as a condition of entry at a host of indoor public spaces. The LA chair of the County Board of Supervisors has issued an executive order compelling county employees to demonstrate they've been vaccinated against COVID-19 by early fall. Over the last week, Times data show, the county has reported an average of almost 3,000 new cases a day, 6 times the rate seen 4 weeks ago. On Tuesday, about 1,300 coronavirus-positive patients were hospitalized countywide, a fourfold increase in just the last month. So some business owners say that this will make things more consistent, but many of them are like, yeah, no, this is just going to shut down my ability to do business again. All of this, again, to prevent, what, 10 deaths average? So 10 deaths a day in L.A. County? Pretty amazing stuff. But, you know, it's all about the virtue signaling. It's not really about the policy at all. We're supposed to believe mask mandates, again, are the solution, when pretty clearly in L.A. County they haven't been. Alrighty, coming up, there's an amazing story out of the DOJ. So the DOJ did a probe of FBI leaks, right? And what they found is kind of astonishing. We'll get to that in just 1 second. First, let's talk about your energy level. So I will admit to you, I am just wiped out. My kids are wiping me out. Travel is wiping me out. For people who are wiped out, you know, guys who are aging, they've got career, family, staying in shape, lots of priorities, and life is stressful. Well, if you need a higher energy level, let me recommend M-Drive. M-Drive is the daily supplement for driven men who don't want to slow down, who refuse to be tired every day and want to be the best at what they do. It's packed with clinically tested ingredients that support healthy testosterone levels while helping you lose weight and stay lean. Added vitamins and nutrients reduce stress and boost your drive so you can perform at your best. Find it at Walgreens and other retailers, or visit mdriveformen.com. Get 20% off your first order with promo code BEN. They have free shipping and a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you don't have anything to lose. M-Drive. It's not for everyone. It's for the driven. mdriveformen.com, promo code BEN. That's the letter M, driveformen.com, promo code BEN. Again, they've got the free shipping, 60-day money-back guarantee. You got nothing to lose. If you don't like it, you can send it right back to them, and it will bring you newfound energy. mdriveformen.com. Promo code BEN to get started. Alrighty, coming up, the DOJ has a brand new probe investigating FBI leaks. And they found that there are so many people leaking that they have actually no idea who's actually doing who leaking. Kind of amazing. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Hello, I'm Mackenzie with Exact Data. I'm excited to share how our team can help your business with its customer acquisition goals. Exact Data has been helping businesses of all sizes find new customers for over 20 years. With over 4,000 unique filters, you're sure to find the most targeted emails, postal addresses, and phone numbers fit for your business. Want a list of new homeowners in your area or looking to reach self-employed business owners? Maybe you're looking for people passionate about charitable causes or a list of medical professionals in your area. We can help. At Exact Data, we have the perfect list to help you grow your business. For pricing, text INFO to 606-MY-LEADS. Remember, text INFO to 606-695-3237, which spells 606-MY-LEADS, and we'll reply with the information you need to get leads for your business. Again, text INFO to 606-MY-LEADS and you'll be well on your way to reaching your sales goals. Message and data rates apply.
So the dream was to build your very own law practice. Be your own boss, call all the shots. But have things like billing, HR, timekeeping, and all the other management stuff turned your dream into a nightmare? Take charge of your practice with Lexicon. We're the intersection of practice management software and legal support services for your firm. You'll get more billable and livable hours back. Lexicon marks the spot for all your practice management needs. Visit lexiconservices.com/intersection to get the whole story or schedule a demo.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
She's a purebred orange and white Brittany, but when we adopted April, she started scratching like crazy. I said, what you put into a dog is what you get out.
DinoVite.com.
So we added a huge scoop of Dinovite in her bowl. She licked it clean. She loved it. Her coat is now soft. It's silky. Dinovite is nutrition.
You get some Dinovite. How happy your dog will be.
On Dinovite. She's Little Miss Hollywood.
DinoVite.com.
Paid for by Bar Justice. Attention. Have you or a loved one been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months? Zantac may be linked to these cancers. Bladder, colorectal, esophageal, intestinal, kidney, liver, ovarian, pancreatic, stomach, testicular, and uterine. If you or a loved one have been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months, call now. Never stop taking medication without first consulting a physician. Call right now for a free consultation. Call 800-379-9550. 800-379-9550.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So, the DOJ had a probe. They're trying to figure out who was leaking information from the FBI to reporters about a bunch of sensitive subjects in 2016. And here is what they found. They found that so many people in the FBI are talking to the media, they couldn't figure out who was leaking. That's really screwed up. And so, the FBI has a comms team. It is their job to talk to the media. When the FBI, which is privy to the most private information about Americans, like the most private information about Americans, when they have so many people who are leaking to the media that they can't, like when you say to them, where are the leaks coming from? And they're like, who isn't leaking around here? Is that supposed to make us feel better about why we should trust you with these sorts of authorities? I mean, it's unbelievable. According to the Washington Post, a four-year probe by the DOJ's inspector general could not determine who in the FBI spoke to reporters about sensitive subjects during the 2016 election. The report issued Thursday by Inspector General Michael Horowitz said there were substantial media contacts with numerous FBI employees, but the evidence could not determine whether these media contacts resulted in the disclosure of non-public information. Horowitz faulted what he called a cultural attitude at the FBI that was far too permissive of unauthorized media contacts in 2016. The 10-page report is the long-awaited summary of an issue that consumed the FBI and DOJ during the presidential contest between Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump. The FBI director at that time, James Comey, told the inspector general he was determined to find out who was leaking to reporters, particularly after articles about how internal disputes between the DOJ and the FBI over how to handle a faltering probe of the Clinton Foundation. While those stories were being reported in late October of 2016, Comey announced publicly he was reopening an investigation into Clinton's use of a private email server that contained classified information based on copies of her emails that had been found in a separate case. That announcement came 2 weeks before Election Day. A 2018 IG report about the Clinton case was highly critical of Comey and his former boss, then Attorney General Loretta Lynch. But Horowitz's office spent 3 more years working on the leak hunting portion of the investigation and came up largely empty. This is all according to the Washington Post. Horowitz said there were simply too many contacts between reporters and the FBI to determine who might have told journalists about sensitive details of cases. His office did find misconduct by 3 senior FBI officials who accepted things of value from reporters like tickets to a ball game or seats at a dinner function. So, again, to make this understandable, the inspector general was trying to find out who was leaking information about the Hillary Clinton investigation to the press in 2016. And they found that so many members of the FBI were talking to the press that they have no idea who was actually doing the leaking. That is so unbelievably disturbing. Horowitz's report says, quote, the Bureau has since taken steps to improve the FBI's cultural attitude regarding unauthorized contacts with the media, including by improving training and aligning its disciplinary measures so that they are sufficient to deter unauthorized contact with the media. We believe it's important for the FBI to remain vigilant in these efforts. Inspector General also said he referred six FBI employees found to have had unauthorized contacts with reporters to senior Bureau managers who are now going to review their cases and consider disciplinary action. 2 days before Comey's announcement, by the way, you'll recall, on the Hillary Clinton email reopening, Giuliani had said on Fox News that the GOP nominee, Donald Trump, had a surprise or two you're going to hear about in the next few days. After Comey's announcement, suspicions intensified that Giuliani had inside information about the Clinton case. He said at the beginning he did, but then he backtracked, of course. Giuliani said he had not talked to any active FBI agents and that Comey's statements were a shock to him. The inspector general said the FBI gave his office bad leads when it came to the Giuliani investigation. The names of four agents who the FBI said had telephone records indicating contact with Giuliani. Those four agents were all questioned and denied being in contact with Giuliani. And it turns out that two of the phone numbers were general lines for the New York office of a law firm where Giuliani was a partner. Two others were numbers for businesses where Giuliani was not affiliated since 2007. So people were misdirecting, apparently. So again, bottom line here is that our institutional trust is at an all-time low in this country, and it is well-deserved. I mean, really, really well-deserved. We had the CIA and the FBI applying for FISA warrants on people like Carter Page on the basis of extraordinarily thin reads. We had the FBI now basically announcing that they had so many people leaking to the media, they couldn't tell who was actually leaking to the media. Pretty astonishing stuff. Really. But I guess there's some folks who want to give these folks more power. I'm wondering why. Okay, meanwhile, new reports suggest that Jill Biden's office is a mess. According to Amanda Prestigiacomo, reporting for the Daily Wire, reports surfaced in June surrounding Vice President Kamala Harris's apparently abusive office, catching the eye of the office of President Joe Biden. Now, adding to the rumors of chaos, reports have surfaced about the allegedly abusive nature of First Lady Jill Biden's office. So, again, so many nice people working in the government. An advisor to Jill Biden, Anthony Bernal, has been described as the most powerful person in the office of the First Lady, who already holds a highly influential elevated role. Bernal is also reportedly somewhat of a tyrant. Politico reported, quote, the way he has wielded that power has made Bernal one of the most polarizing people in the White House, according to interviews of more than two dozen White House staffers, former campaign aides, and people who worked with him during the Obama administration. In Bernal's pursuit of perfection for FLOTUS, Politico said, the advisor has treated staffers poorly. So poorly, the atmosphere has been likened to the movie The Devil Wears Prada. Many described him as berating and toxic because of his unfiltered criticism of others and tendency to trash-talk his colleagues behind their backs, according to the report. Some compare him to Meryl Streep's character in Devil Wears Prada. Another equated him to the ever-conspiring Littlefinger in Game of Thrones. Stories of Bernal making staffers cry are an open secret in the Biden world, with seemingly everyone knowing someone who's been on the receiving end, according to Politico. Two former campaign staffers said they heard Bernal call people stupid in meetings or over the phone. During the campaign and in the White House, some staffers felt the behavior was so noxious they began surreptitiously recording him in meetings, according to two officials who others confided in about recording him. West Wing Playbook has not heard the recordings. The First Lady's office did not address the recordings in their comment. So it turns out, once again, that the most liberal among us seem to be the least nice. How many offices do we have to see before we recognize that a lot of these folks are just not particularly nice people? And all of the theatrics of niceness in politics are generally backed by some campaign staffer who's an absolute jerk. It really is amazing. Speaking of which, by the way, you know that Andrew Cuomo was basically being fronted for by people in high positions, including high-ranking members of his own administration. I mean, there is a woman working for him who is actively attempting to subvert a lot of the complaints that were being made about him. Now, staffers in politics are notoriously Machiavellian, and this is no exception. Also, I mean, you want to know a really weird story and bad story about Andrew Cuomo. We'll get to that in a minute. Okay, there is a story about a person named Alfonso David, Cuomo's former counsel. He now leads up the Human Rights Campaign, which is a wild left-wing group. It turns out that he was helping to shield Andrew Cuomo from his own excesses. We'll get to that story plus. We'll check the mailbag in just one moment. You're listening to The Ben Shapiro Show.
It's The Ramsey Show, talk radio where debt is dumb and cash is king. Listen weekdays at noon on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio station.
KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and hear us online at KCNR1460.com. Don't miss Armstrong and Getty, plus Ben Shapiro, and Free Fire Radio with Carl and Linda Bott, featuring special guests talking about local issues on KCNR.
This is RC from Tobacco and Brew with this month's Cigar of the Humidor. Today we're sharing Perez Carrillo Trilogy. This gift set is the pinnacle of years tirelessly dedicated to the perfection of cigars. Rating 95, 96, and 98 by Cigar Aficionado, these three cigars have put Ernesto Perez Carrillo at the top of the industry. Come down to the best cigar shop around, Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
Hi, my name's Nick Gardner. I have a show here on KCNR, Sunday mornings from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. every other Sunday. The name of my show is Poke the Hornet's Nest.
There's no mountain I can't climb. There's no tower too high. No plane that I can't learn how to fly. What do I gotta do to get through to you to show you there ain't nothing I can't take this chainsaw to?
I'm going to concentrate on local politics mainly, but we'll talk about national politics also. You'll get the view of the common citizen here in Redding, California. And remember, today is the first day of the rest of your life. Maybe it's a good time for a new perspective about what's been going on in our town, in our state, in our nation. I hope you tune in and hear the other side of the news.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2642 or online at homecomfort.org, and they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
Slow down. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Redding has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide three delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So, story about a backer of Andrew Cuomo. His name is Alfonso David, okay? And according to the Huffington Post, the country's largest LGBTQ rights advocacy group is in turmoil, facing a staff revolt over their president's connection to New York Governor Andrew Cuomo's sexual harassment scandal. In a tense all-staff meeting on Wednesday, employees at the Human Rights Campaign laid into Alfonso David for nearly an hour and a half and asked him to resign several times. A person on the call shared a recording with Huffington Post. David was part of Cuomo's tight inner circle, serving as his counsel from 2015 to 2019. The New York AG's office on Tuesday released a bombshell report detailing its investigation into allegations against the Democratic governor, and David appears to have played a significant role in Cuomo's efforts to discredit his accusers. The report, based on conversations with 179 people, more than 74,000 pieces of evidence, includes emails, texts, photos, and audio files. David publicly called for Cuomo's resignation on a tweet on Tuesday night. During the conference call on Wednesday, David told staff he hadn't known about the sexual harassment allegations against Cuomo until the report came out. But HRC employees spent most of the call berating David over the report's findings that tie him to Cuomo's attempts to smear his accusers. The report states, for example, that David provided a confidential file to Cuomo's top aides, which they used to discredit one of his accusers, Lindsay Boylan. The former Cuomo staffer accused the governor of sexual harassment, including an unsolicited kiss in his office and an invitation to play strip poker on a government airplane. The report also states that David was involved in discussions about calling and secretly recording a conversation between a former Cuomo staffer and another Cuomo accuser named Caitlin, who has not provided her last name. According to the report, David also initially declined to sign on to a letter aimed at discrediting Boylan and attacking her claims as political, but later told a Cuomo aide he would sign the letter if, quote, we need him. He also agreed to reach out to women who previously worked for Cuomo to try to get them to sign on to a statement saying positive things about the governor, per the report. David was serving as president of HRC at the time of all of these incidents. So, really delightful. Once again, turns out the most woke among us are perfectly happy to cover up malfeasance and bad action by friends so long as they share sort of intersectional concerns. The HRC board, by the way, is standing by him. It extended his contract for 5 more years on Tuesday. According to HRC Foundation Board Chair Jody Patterson, quote, the Human Rights Campaign and Human Rights Campaign Foundation have full confidence in Alfonso David as president of the organization. So bold. So amazing. Meanwhile, Michigan Attorney General Dana Nessel, who is openly gay, tweeted Thursday she won't accept any campaign donations or support from HRC until David is out. So that is a source of bemusement, I'm sure, for the left. Meanwhile, news emerging on John Kerry. So John Kerry is, of course, the climate envoy who has done nothing but fail upward in his political career. According to the Daily Mail, a private jet belonging to John Kerry and his family has taken 16 trips this year alone, according to flight records obtained by FlightAware. The jet is scheduled to depart Martha's Vineyard on Thursday, one day after former President Obama's birthday bash with close family and friends. Many of the flights were within Massachusetts, both to and from Martha's Vineyard and Boston. Others were within Idaho, both Sun Valley and Boise. Kerry, 77, and his wife, Teresa Hines, who is a ketchup heiress, have reportedly been part-time residents in Sun Valley for decades. Hines Kerry has owned a home in Ketchum. Other flights included stops in Jersey and Los Angeles. So, exciting stuff from John Kerry. You know, make sure that you cut down on your carbon emissions, but he has too many homes to, you know, go to fly public. I mean, that's just not a thing.
John Kerry reporting for his private flight.
Kerry says he offsets his carbon emissions. A spokesperson for Kerry told Fox News he flies commercial when on official business for his role. But apparently, in 2020, his family produced an estimated 116 metric tons of carbon dioxide. The typical passenger vehicle emits 4.6 metric tons of carbon dioxide in 1 year. It's good to be one of the specials, isn't it? It really is nice. Artie, in just 1 second, we're going to jump into the mailbag because it is a Friday first. Chances are right now you could refinance your home loan and save $500 a month. It's true. Data shows 20% of homeowners are experiencing that right now. And really, you could save even more, but only if you call American Financing, because at American Financing, you're going to get a free mortgage review and learn about ways to save up to $1,000 a month. That's right, $1,000 a month. That adds up to $12,000 a year. You see how I did that math right there? Think of what you can do with all that money. You can invest it, pay off some debt, maybe renovate. Whatever you want, it's your money. And you deserve to have it, so don't put off that refi any longer. Thousands of people are already refinancing pretty much every month. There's still options in the twos right now. They can't stay this low forever. Pre-qualify for free at 866-721-3300. That's 866-721-3300. Or visit AmericanFinancing.net. NMLS 182334, NMLSConsumerAccess.org. Now's an excellent time to refinance. The rates are really low. Your mortgage is your biggest bill. Why not lower that if you can? Head on over to AmericanFinancing.net and see the possibilities for yourself, or give American Financing a call at 866-721-3300. Alrighty, let's jump into the mailbag. Tim says, Dear Ben, I always appreciate the insight and all the leftist tears for the Tumblr. I'm currently looking to sell my house in a blue state and move to a red state. My current house value is up like most. My question, since inflation is on the rise and the housing market seems to be at an exaggerated high, would it be better to sell my current home and buy a home in the new location or rent until the market adjusts to proper values? I know no one knows the future, but any insight into the current real estate market would be helpful. Thanks. Well, I mean, I do think that we are in the middle of a real estate bubble. I also think that when it comes to investing in your own personal home, a lot depends on, number one, whether you find the home you want to live in, and number two, what your term is. So I don't think that the market is going to crater by 50% over the course of the next couple of years, for example. I don't think we're looking at like a 2007, 2008 real estate crash in quite the same way that we did during those periods. I think there will be a letting the air out of the balloon sort of thing. But if you're investing for the long haul, right, like I overpaid for my house in Florida, and I know I overpaid for my house in Florida last year. And then the market continued to go up. But I don't really care whether it went up or down because I intend on keeping my house in Florida for a very long time. If you intend on keeping your house for like the next 20, 30 years, it almost doesn't matter very much. Like the chances are pretty good that you're going to make out like a bandit that way. Like my parents bought their house in L.A., in the mid-90s, like the house that they just sold, they sold it for something like four times the original price, just because if you hold on to real estate for long enough, it accrues in value. Noah says, Hey, Ben, love your show. Just wondering what you think is worse, communism or Nazism? What do you think hurts more people? Thanks so much. Well, I mean, that's like saying, what is worse, you know, breast cancer or brain cancer? I'm pretty sure both are pretty damned terrible. But if you're talking about which historically has ended with the death of more people, communism. Because Nazism was a phenomenon in one place, Germany, that lasted from 1933 to 1945, a 12-year period. Communism was a trans-global phenomenon. I mean, it really went pretty much everywhere. It involved two of the largest countries on the face of the earth, the USSR and China. It resulted in the deaths of tens of millions of people over the course of approximately 70 years, from basically 1917 all the way until 1991. So, I mean, in terms of what has done more damage globally, Marxism, by far. In terms of which is a more evil ideology, again, toss-up there. Tyler says, Hey, Ben, on your show you talk about CRT, transgenderism, pronouns, packing the court, anti-racism, modern monetary theory, etc. How much ground does the right and the country lose by engaging in these terms? Is it better to call these ideas dangerous from the outset than explore and discuss them? Is that level of dialogue from the right acting as engagement that only furthers the same ideas we're fighting against, putting them inside the Overton window? Well, you know, unlike folks on the left, I'm not comfortable with simply dismissing most ideas before I even discuss what they are. Like, I think it is worthwhile to know the ideas of people you disagree with, so then you can make an informed decision about whether to dismiss them or not. Folks on the left don't seem to do that very often, but I think it's why, frankly, folks on the right are better engaged in politics than folks on the left. They've actually listened to most leftist arguments before they make a decision about them. Mike says, Hey, Ben, considering Democrats appear to have completely abandoned federalism, what line do you think would need to be crossed to trigger the balkanization of the United States? I mean, I don't think that you're ever going to get, like, full armed balkanization of the United States, but I do think that you are seeing a soft balkanization right now. Florida looks nothing like California. I think that as the federal government tries to cram down its mandates, you're going to see more and more states saying, you know, come and do it yourself. We're not going to help you effectuate that policy. On the other side, you've seen California do that with immigration. Right? They made themselves a sanctuary state during the Trump administration. So I think we're already seeing it roll out in real time. I just don't think it's going to come to people in the streets with guns, at least not anytime in the next couple of generations. At least we can all hope and pray. All right, I'll get to more of your questions in just one second. First, let us talk about a simple fact. You know, when you're out this summer having a good time, you sometimes need a great pair of wireless earbuds. When the world gets too loud, something you can always do is create your own soundtrack by popping in your Raycon wireless earbuds. Sometimes you need some upbeat music to pump you up before you see people, or to stay calm with some guided meditation. Let me tell you right now, Raycons are the best way to listen. They come with a bunch of gel tips for your comfort. Unlike some of the other brands, they don't stick out of your ears. Raycons have a 32-hour battery life. You can listen to what you want, when you want, for a really long time. They start at half the price of other premium audio brands. They sound just as good. And Raycons come with a 45-day happiness guarantee, so you really can't lose. Create your own soundtrack with Raycon. Right now, my listeners can get 15% off their Raycon order at buyraycon.com/Ben. That is BURAYCON.com/Ben to save 15% on Raycons. Buyraycon.com/Ben. And these are a great pair of wireless earbuds. They will fit your ear perfectly because you can actually personalize them to do so. They last for a really long time. The sound is fantastic, and it'll cost you a lot less than their competitors. Buyraycon.com/Ben. Save 15% on your Raycons today. Daniel says, "Hey, Ben, I recently just graduated from Ithaca College with a bachelor's in journalism and a minor in marketing. Although I viewed myself as mostly conservative coming out of high school, I decided to attend a liberal college to challenge my perspective and get into lively debate. What I'm asking is, would you recommend other conservative students do the same?" So what I've said is that if you are prepared for that sort of thing, absolutely. I think it can make you a better thinker. I think it can challenge how you think. And I think that you can be a better conservative for that. If, however, you're not prepared, then putting yourself in a vicious scenario in order to learn how to fight is sort of like throwing yourself into the ideological deep end of the swimming pool, and you can find yourself drowning pretty quickly. Chelsea says, "Hey, Ben, I'm a mom of 3, 7, 4, 9 months. I was wondering if there's any limiting principle to disengaging our families from the culture. Can you disengage from the culture so much our kids become unable to function well as adults because the culture is too foreign for them? Or is it a non-issue because we can't 100% disengage from the culture? Even as homeschoolers, my kids have friends, participate in sports and clubs. They obviously have some exposure to culture via friends. Regardless, is there a line in which we have disengaged too much from the culture and for the well-being of our kids?" I think that's a personal decision for each family to make. My kids are pretty disengaged from the culture, but they're aware of, like, old Disney movies. And I'm sure there will come a point where they stumble upon more of the modern material that I think is really gross and inappropriate for them. And then it's my job to help them handle that. I think that the way to treat culture is sort of like a vaccine. You have to inoculate kids against the worst excesses of the culture. If you just try to protect them completely, then when they stumble onto this kind of stuff, they can easily be seduced into it or damaged by it. That would be my great fear, but it's a balancing act for sure. Tiago says, "Hey, Ben, I'm a big fan. I've been a member for over 3 years now. My question is, what is the Jewish interpretation of Genesis 1:26 as God created man, saying, 'Then God said, let us make mankind in our image and our likeness, so they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. Who is us to the Jews?'" Because there are several varying interpretations in sort of Jewish theology about what the plural of that verse is. So one of the interpretations is that that is God speaking to the other sort of forces that he's already created, right? We know that he speaks to various forces in the Bible, in the first chapter of Genesis. So that would be God speaking, for example, to the animals, because Adam is created as part animal and as part, you know, inspiration from the divine, right? God breathes life into him. So that's one interpretation, is he's talking to, for example, the animals. Another is that he's talking to the angels. Angels in Jewish philosophy are sort of, the word for angel and messenger is the same in Hebrew. It's malach. And so the idea is that these are the forces who God is deploying in order to physically create man. They're sort of emanations from the divine presence. And the final suggestion is that it could be man himself. And so it is God appealing to man to make himself more than merely an animal, which I really kind of like that take. I think it's interesting. Alrighty, coming up, some odd cultural stories of the day, including Justin Bieber apologizing for liking another artist's art. Kind of messed up. It's the Ben Shapiro Show.
His coat is very thick. He's an Akita, German Shepherd, Lab, Husky mix. Harold, the Border Collie Pit mix. He has the most beautiful jet black coat. Stuart, my rat carrier, has fur now where he never had it before.
DINOVITE.com.
Dynavite will give them a beautiful, lustrous coat. It will make you smile.
You get some Dynavite. How happy your dog will be.
DINOVITE.com.
So the dream was to build your very own law practice. Be your own boss, call all the shots.
But have things like billing, HR, timekeeping, and all the other management stuff turned your dream into a nightmare? Take charge of your practice with Lexicon. We're the intersection of practice management software and legal support services for your firm. You'll get more billable and livable hours back. Lexicon marks the spot for all your practice management needs. Visit lexiconservices.com/intersection to get the whole story or schedule a demo.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Paid for by Bar Justice. Attention, have you or a loved one been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months? Zantac may be linked to these cancers: bladder, colorectal, esophageal, intestinal, kidney, liver, ovarian, pancreatic, stomach, testicular, and uterine. If you or a loved one have been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months, call now. Never stop taking medication without first consulting a physician. Call right now for a free consultation. Call 800-379-9550. 800-379-9550.
Hello, I'm Mackenzie with Exact Data. I'm excited to share how our team can help your business with its customer acquisition goals. Exact Data has been helping businesses of all sizes find new customers for over 20 years. With over 4,000 unique filters, you're sure to find the most targeted emails, postal addresses, and phone numbers fit for your business. Want a list of new homeowners in your area or looking to reach self-employed business owners? Maybe you're looking for people passionate about charitable causes or a list of medical professionals in your area. We can help. At Exact Data, we have the perfect list to help you grow your business. For pricing, text INFO to 606-MY-LEADS. Remember, text INFO to 606-695-3237, which spells 606-MY-LEADS, and we'll reply with the information you need to get leads for your business. Again, text INFO to 606-MY-LEADS, and you'll be well on your way to reaching your sales goals. Message and data rates apply.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So, I have to say, there is this amusing phenomenon that takes place in reporting sometimes where reporters, like, go and they visit the regular people. And it's like Jane Goodall visiting the chimps, going out into the realms of the unknown and experiencing what the regular people are like. There's just such a piece from a person named Kevin McCallum over at a place called 7 Days Vermont, Vermont's Independent Voice, so a very left-leaning newspaper in Vermont. It's called Shots Fired. A reporter visits Vermont's first indoor gun range. Okay, and let's just say that this is some of the most melodramatic writing about shooting a gun I've ever seen. Quote, I'm not a gun guy. I haven't handled a firearm since I squeezed off a few rounds from an old .22 rifle at summer camp more than 35 years ago. Nor have I felt the impulse to own a gun for personal protection, whether due to privilege or delusion or both. I've also figured, rightly or wrongly, owning a gun, statistically speaking, would tend to make my family's home less safe, not more. So when Henry Perro opened the state's first indoor shooting range in Waterbury in late June, I didn't pay it much mind. Then, one novel feature caught my attention, firearms for rent. I've rented cars, skis, stand-up paddleboards, even a snowmobile, but I'd never heard of a place where you could walk in, plunk down a credit card, and minutes later be firing an assault rifle. That is, however, exactly what I found myself doing one morning last week. Okay, so then the whole story is about the person who owns the gun range and what it was like to shop at the gun range. It is this description that is making the rounds on the Twitterverse that is hysterically funny. Okay, here is this reporter's description of shooting. Okay, he says this. He had gotten himself a rifle, and he was firing 9mm bullets. Quote, Noble showed me how to load the 9mm bullets into the magazine, shove the magazine into the grip, slide back the surprisingly stiff bolt, release the safety, and prepare to fire. I lined up the sights as best I could, gently squeezed the trigger, and bam! I missed. A tiny hole appeared wide of the target. Even from that short distance, I found it surprisingly challenging to keep the sights centered on the bullseye. Round after round, magazine after magazine, however, I slowly improved my accuracy. But here we get to the rifle. You ready? Here's the description of firing a rifle. Quote, While the pistol was manageable, even comfortable to hold and fire, the rifle was a different beast altogether. Everything about it, its weight, tactical scope, overall lethality was downright intimidating. The fact that the first magazine refused to click into place didn't help either, further unnerving me. What if I just broke a $3,500 rifle? A fresh magazine worked just fine, though, and after loading it, I sent the target out to 15 yards. When ready, I lined up the target in the crosshairs, pulled the stock onto my shoulder, squeezed the trigger, and ba-boom! It is difficult to describe the impact, physical and personal, of that first shot. It felt like a meteor had struck the earth in front of me. A deep shockwave coursed through my body, the recoil rippling through my arms and right shoulder with astounding power. Being that close to an explosion of such magnitude, controlled and focused as it was, rattled me. I composed myself, continued to fire round after concussive round. The puffs of acrid gunpowder smoke carried downrange by a powerful ventilation system. My accuracy gradually improved until it became easier to hit the target with the rifle from 25 yards than with the pistol from 5. It was exhilarating, but I never got comfortable firing it. I'm not sure what scared me more, the power of that weapon or the fact I could have taken one home that day. Oh, my God. He fired a rifle. Okay, so here's the thing. My wife is an itty-bitty human. My wife is 5'2". She's like 110 pounds soaking wet. Like, she's a very small person. Okay, and my wife has fired a rifle. She's fired a shotgun, which has more kick than a rifle. And she has never described firing a shotgun that way. Because that's bizarre and crazy. Like, what? Like a meteor hitting in front of you? Oh, man. But it's that sort of disconnect between journalists and the regular folks that tends toward the bizarre when it comes to politics. Because then it's like, why would anyone want to own a firearm like this? It's so powerful. It's like a meteor hitting in front. Or maybe a lot of people have grown up around guns. A lot of people have fired rifles. They're pretty comfortable handling them, a lot more comfortable than you. And again, this is coming from a guy who is not, like, super-duper fluent with firearms. I mean, I grew up in L.A. I didn't own a firearm until I was, like, 25 years old, 26 years old. I've been shooting a fair number of times, but it's not like I go out to the range all the time. But the sort of weird foreignness being described here, it leads people to cover events in a particular way, and that way is usually quite stupid. Okay, meanwhile, today's cancel culture stupidity of the day. So Justin Bieber, the Biebster, he said he committed a critical cultural error the other day. He said that he enjoyed Morgan Wallen's music. So Morgan Wallen is this country star. He made the grave mistake of getting very drunk with his friends and then calling a friend who was not black the N-word, like in rap fashion. Like ending with A. Okay, and this was caught on a Ring video camera by a bystander. And this made the news, and Morgan Wallen had his contracts canceled from a variety of places. By the way, he's still one of the top country artists in the country. And then he made the mistake of going on a big morning show, and he was dragged by Michael Strahan and made to commit some sort of Maoist apology. Well, now Justin Bieber made a mistake, because Justin Bieber said he enjoys Morgan Wallen's music. You must never say this. You must never say that you enjoy somebody else's work if they have ever done a bad thing. Ever. Everyone is canceled. So Justin Bieber, who has never done anything bad in his entire life, Justin Bieber, it should be noted. And there's no record of Justin Bieber ever having, you know, been weird with the ladies or anything. At all. He is pure as, when I think pure as the driven snow, I think of the Biebs. So Justin Bieber said, quote, "I had no idea that the guy's music I posted was recently found saying racist comments. As you know, I don't support or tolerate any sort of racism or discrimination. I had no idea. I sincerely apologize to anyone I offended." No one was offended. No one. They just wish to make you do the Maoist apology. That's all. Because once they have done that, they can now say that you have to apologize for anybody they want you to apologize for. By the way, I think it is perfectly fine to say that you enjoy the art of lots of people who are garbage humans. I think it is fine for people to say they enjoy the work of Wagner. Wagner was a viciously terrible anti-Semite, like a horrible human being. By the way, Robert Schumann was no friend of the Jews. I love Schumann's music. There are lots of people who are just terrible people whose art is spectacular. Like Dostoevsky, not a fan of my folks, the Jews. And I love Dostoevsky. He's spectacular. This newfangled idea that art must be seen through the lens of, do I agree with everything this person has ever done? It's so stupid. It's so insipid. It's ridiculous. Everybody needs to just recognize that you're allowed to like things that are produced by people who you may not like. It's fine. Get over it. Seriously. Alrighty, we will be back here on Monday. with much, much more. In the meantime, have yourself a wonderful weekend. Pick up a copy of my brand new book, The Authoritarian Moment, if you're looking for some excellent beach reading. In the meantime, have yourself a wonderful and relaxing weekend. We'll see you back here next week. This is The Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstrup. Even people who've recovered from COVID-19 could benefit from a vaccine shot. Jennifer King updates us on a new report from the CDC.
Researchers looked at a group of Kentucky residents who'd had a coronavirus infection in the fall of 2020. COVID-19 survivors who failed to get vaccinated were more than twice as likely to get reinfected. Scientists found infection does leave survivors protected against a serious reinfection, but blood tests signal that the protection drops against the worrisome variants. In a separate study, Rush University researchers found that even one dose of the vaccine gives people who've recovered from COVID a dramatic boost in immunity, even more than people who've never been infected would get from two shots.
Meanwhile, the Arkansas judge temporarily blocked the state Friday from enforcing a law signed back in April by Governor Asa Hutchinson that prevents schools and other governmental agencies from requiring masks. And Florida's Board of Education approved an emergency rule to allow private school vouchers to parents who say their school district's mask-wearing mandates amount to child harassment. Wrap it up and pass a $1 trillion infrastructure plan. That's what President Biden is urging lawmakers.
With the Senate getting close to a vote on the bipartisan package, the president said the bill is needed to keep the economic recovery going.
This bill makes key investments to put people to work all across the country.
Several Republicans support the traditional infrastructure measure, which focuses on roads, bridges, waterworks, and broadband. But GOP members largely oppose a separate partisan Democratic bill that would spend $3.5 trillion for child and health care and education. Greg Clugston, The White House.
Starting Monday, Amazon will require all of its 900,000 U.S. warehouse workers to wear masks indoors, regardless of their vaccination status. More news and analysis at townhall.com.
Tell me why Relief Factor is so successful in lowering or eliminating pain. I'm often asked that question. Pete and Seth Talbot, the father and son founders of Relief Factor, tell me they believe our bodies were designed to heal. The doctors who formulated Relief Factor selected the four best ingredients, 100% drug-free ingredients that each help your body deal with inflammation. Order the three-week quick start now. Discount it to only $19.95 to see if it will work for you too. Call 800-500-8384. ReliefFactor.com.
Angie's List is now Angie. Summer is the perfect time to book your next home project. From lawn care to a new patio, Angie makes it simple to connect with pros who can get the job done right. See reviews, upfront pricing, and instantly book hundreds of projects. Plus, when you book and pay through Angie, we'll cover your project up to the full purchase price, plus limited damage protection with our happiness guarantee. Check out Angie.com, and for more on the happiness guarantee, go to Angie.com/happiness-guarantee.htm.
An appeal to Tigrayan rebels in Ethiopia to allow aid trucks with food to save lives from UN's emergency relief coordinator.
Martin Griffiths said he had seen hospitals looted and destroyed in Tigray and families traumatized by violence. There are catastrophic food shortages. The UN needs to get 100 trucks of supplies across conflict lines and into Tigray every single day to save lives. To guarantee deliveries, Martin Griffiths said, a humanitarian ceasefire was needed. The Ethiopian government says it is in favour, but Tigray's rebels are expanding into neighbouring Amhara. Mr. Griffiths said that the best way to ensure the survival of the people of Tigray was to stop the conflict.
BBC's Imogene Folks reporting. More breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. Facebook is being criticized by a senior Federal Trade Commission official for its efforts to shut down the personal accounts of two academic researchers and terminate their probe of information.
Samuel Levine, acting director of the FTC's Consumer Protection Bureau, said in a letter to Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg that Facebook wrongly used a 2019 data privacy settlement with the FTC to justify shutting down the New York University researchers' accounts this week. Levine also said Facebook failed to honor a prior commitment to notify the FTC in advance of taking such an action. Facebook maintained the researchers violated their terms of service and were involved in unauthorized data collection from its massive network. The academics, however, say the company is attempting to exert control on research that paints it in a negative light. Jeremy House, Washington.
And check out more on these stories at townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra.
Did Redding's summer heat put a toll on your vehicle? Is your paint faded, peeling, or even scratched up? It'll get worse faster than you think. You may think it's way too expensive to have painted. Well, think again. You can bring it to Maaco here in Redding and get a professional paint job and save big with their $4.99 special. Maaco also has interest-free loans for up to a year OAC. Maaco, America's Body Shop, 3045 Crossroads Drive. Uh-oh. Better call Maaco, 226-0992. Have you been involved in a minor accident and find it's not big enough to go through your insurance company? Bring it to Maaco and get it fixed at a fraction of the cost. Remember, it's your choice where you go to have your vehicle repaired. Call Maaco for uncompromised quality, quick turnaround times, and all work backed by the National Maaco Warranty. Maaco, America's Body Shop. Stop in at 3045 Crossroads Drive or call 226-0992. Uh-oh. Better call Maaco, 226-0992.
Hey, and welcome. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. The Ben Shapiro Show is sponsored by ExpressVPN. Don't let big tech track what you do. Anonymize your web browsing at expressvpn.com/Ben. Alrighty, so the left seems to be in a war with itself right now. And I'm very much rooting for the moderate left to win. I want moderate liberals to win the battle against the woke. And it seems like this is happening in terms of electoral politics, but oddly enough, it's not happening in terms of policy. And that's really quite strange, because the reality is that inside the Democratic Party, there are many, many more people who are sort of moderate than there are people who have heavy sympathies for the woke. Now, in elite circles, it's precisely the reverse. In elite circles, in the media particularly, in the halls of power, in institutions, there's a lot of sympathy for the woke. There are a lot of people out there who think of the woke as sort of the most dedicated to the cause. And so they're willing to give them all sorts of slack. They're willing to allow them all sorts of room to run. They're willing to defend them even when they say overtly stupid and bizarre things. They're willing to follow their policy lead. But the Democratic Party base is not aligned with this. They just are not. The latest indicator of that this week was this race in Ohio between Chantel Brown, a Democratic county councilor, fighting against Nina Turner, who's a former co-chair for Bernie Sanders' presidential campaign in the 15th Congressional District, which is a safely Republican seat around Columbus. Energy industry lobbyist Mike Carey, meanwhile, prevailed over a crowded field boosted by former President Donald Trump's endorsements. There were a couple of open primaries the other night. And there are kind of mixed results on the GOP side, but the big result on the Democratic side was, of course, that there was this big infight that went on between Nina Turner, who again was that former co-chair for Bernie, and Chantel Brown. So it looked like Nina Turner was going to win that safe Democratic seat. And then the entire Democratic Party infrastructure said, wait, we don't need another member of the squad. We need somebody who's more aligned with the sort of Biden rhetoric, who's more aligned with the middle of the Democratic Party. And so you saw James Clyburn intervene in exactly the same way he did in the presidential race. And then it turned out that Nina Turner got pretty much skunked by Chantel Brown. Now, this was a rejection of the squad. Make no mistake about this. Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez had told voters during a July swing through the district to vote for Nina Turner. She said, please send me Nina. Brown, 45, had entered the race with local clout. Turner had name recognition from a career in Ohio politics and the two campaigns with Sanders. But Brown turned the campaign into a referendum on President Biden, reminding voters that Turner had criticized him and cast a protest vote against the 2020 Democratic platform. Brown was ahead of Turner by 6 points when the race was officially called. In a concession speech, Turner said the country had been through a desert of despair, indifference, inequality, and racism. Tonight, my friends, we have looked across the promised land, but for this campaign, on this night, we will not cross the river. Now, again, the moderate candidate caught up to the radical candidate after James Clyburn endorsed her and after the Democratic Majority for Israel's PAC ran ads warning that Turner could undermine the Democratic agenda. Brown's campaign emphasized support for Biden and said that Turner was simply too radical, and thus Turner went down to flaming defeat. And yet, strangely enough, Again, in elite circles, there seems to be more sympathy for the Bernie Sanders wing of the party than for the traditional sort of Joe Biden wing of the party, which is why it's been very weird to watch the continued fealty to Cori Bush. So Cori Bush is this radical Missouri congressperson. She got her start being a Black Lives Matter activist, and then she's become this very loud adjunct member of the squad. She's a second wave member of the squad. The squad existed, and then she was recently elected to Congress, was Cori Bush. And, of course, she made headlines this week when she camped out on the steps of the Capitol building to protest evictions. And then the Biden administration announced that in defiance of the Constitution of the United States, Joe Biden would simply declare an eviction moratorium, even if it would be struck down by the Supreme Court itself. And here's the thing. Why would you follow Cori Bush down this primrose path at all? Cori Bush is terrible. Her policies are not in line with what the vast majority of Americans want. The entire Democratic Party has spent the last few months attempting, for example, to run headlong away from the defund the police sloganeering of people like Cori Bush and AOC and Ilhan Omar and Rashida Tlaib. And yet, when it comes to much of their policy, they seem to be following the lead of the squad. And every so often, Cori Bush will just Leroy Jenkins it. Right? Every so often, the Democratic Party will be like, guys, we don't need to do this defund the police stuff because it polls really bad. You know, let's do this policy stuff in the dead of night when not a lot of people are watching, but let's not campaign as overtly radical. Let's not do that. And then Cori Bush will be like, Leroy Jenkins, and just rush in. You know, faith first. So that's what happened yesterday. Cori Bush was doing an interview, and she declared that she wanted to defund the police. But she didn't just say that. She said, I pay for security. I have taxpayer-funded security. I need security. But you, the regular people, you don't need police. We should defund the police.
I'm going to make sure I have security because I know I have had attempts on my life, and I have too much work to do. There are too many people that need help right now for me to allow that. So if I end up spending $200,000, if I spend $10 more on it, you know what? I get to be here to do the work. So suck it up, and defunding the police has to happen. We need to defund the police and put that money into social safety nets because we're trying to save lives.
So in the exact same sentence where she says that she deserves $200,000 of security, she says that you should not have security. Why are the Democrats following this? And here's the thing. I think the reason that the Democrats have decided that they're going to treat the squad and radical left of their own party with respect is not really for electoral benefit so much as it is about the belief by the Democrats that anytime somebody on the right has a critique, the critique has to be false. There's a really interesting piece today over at a Substack called The Liberal Patriot by a guy named Roy Teixeira. Now, Roy Teixeira is a major Democrat. Like, Roy Teixeira is one of the people who used to write essays about the Browning of America and how demographic change was eventually going to lead to this magical democratic utopia. Well, now he is warning that Democrats are completely disconnected from reality, that they have fallen into what he calls the Fox News fallacy. Here's what he says. He says, the Fox News fallacy is having a dire effect on many Democrats. This is the idea that if Fox News, substitute here the conservative bete noir of your choice if you prefer, criticizes the Democrats for X, there must be absolutely nothing to X. And the job of Democrats is to assert that, loudly and often. The problem is that an issue is not necessarily completely invalid just because Fox News mentions it. That depends on the issue. If there's something to the issue and persuadable voters have real concerns, you will not allay those concerns by embracing the Fox News fallacy. In fact, you'll probably intensify them by giving such voters the impression that Democrats simply don't care about their concerns and will do nothing to address them. That will undermine the Democrats' ability to respond to predictable attacks against their candidates in 2022 and raise the likelihood of a midterm debacle. And he cites a few examples of this. One of them is crime. He points out that a lot of people on the right have been pointing out the rising crime rates in major cities around the United States. And yet Democrats continue to proclaim over and over and over again that there really is no big crime problem. That the crime problem is all just made up by the Fox News crowd. And this is not going to redound to the Democrats' benefit. Another example of what Roy Teixeira calls the Fox News fallacy is the immigration issue, he says. The Biden administration has resisted and still resists calling the situation at the Mexican border a crisis and initially insisted that the surge at the border would go away on its own as the hot weather season arrived. This was the line most Democrats adhered to, invoking the idea the issue was more a Fox News talking point than a real problem. It's now apparent the border surge is not going away anytime soon and that the perceived liberalization of the border regime under the Biden administration has indeed spurred more migrants to try their luck at the border, and it's not going away with the hot weather. The Washington Post reports officials have made more than 1 million apprehensions at the southwest border this fiscal year as of June. 210,000 more individuals probably crossed in July. This is the highest monthly encounter number since fiscal year 2000. And there's a reason why Joe Biden's approval rating on immigration is now at 30%, 37% up, 52% down. He is only at 30% approval rating among independents, by the way. And critical race theory is another issue where Democrats are completely missing the boat. Because Republicans mention it, Democrats have decided that this is no longer worth concerning themselves over. There's almost a sort of bizarre, it's like a bizarre reverse psychology effect here that Democrats are falling prey to. The minute that Republicans say something is a problem, Democrats immediately declare that not only is it not a problem, it's something good. So if we say that the squad is completely radical and proposing policies that are ridiculous on their face, the Democrats say that we're making it up. And then the American people know we're not making it up because they have eyes, they have ears, they can see it happening. By the way, this also happens in reverse, right? This is not unique to the left. The right has this as well. If the left makes a criticism of the right that has some legitimacy to it, very often people on the right will just go, well, if the left is saying it, it must be false. Well, no, it might be false, but that doesn't mean it definitely is false. Right now for the Biden administration, however, they are falling into a real political trap here because they are so attached to the idea that Fox News is the font of all evil and shows like this one are not worth listening to, and that anyone who disagrees with them is a vicious bigot. They're so attached to that idea that they are disregarding the fact that many, many Americans agree that their agenda has skewed far too radical. Right? As Roy Teixeira points out, this is certainly true with regard to critical race theory. Right? The American people do not like critical race theory. The polling data shows this stuff is really, really unpopular. It's unpopular in Virginia. And Roy Teixeira concludes, Democrats who embrace the Fox News fallacy are inclined to believe there is no real issue here other than voters whipped up by Fox News who are simply opposed to teaching students about slavery and the like. That is a mistake and blinds Democrats to a real problem that is emerging. Generally, Democrats need to wean themselves away from the Fox News fallacy as a generic response to conservative attacks. This is exactly correct. But Democrats don't seem to be getting the message. Not with regard to the Cori Bush wing of the Democratic Party, and not with regard to COVID either. Because it turns out that a lot of the critiques from the right are steeped not in anti-vaxxerism. They are steeped in data. They are steeped in science. They are pointing out that there is a serious lack of data for much of what the left is calling for right now. And because the left doesn't like the right, they're just ignoring it. And they're pretending that they can dismiss all of that with the wave of a hand and everybody will just accept it. This is a bad political move for them. I mean, honestly, if they want to do it, go for it. It's just going to make a lot of lives worse, and then they're just going to get the ass-kicking they deserve come 2022. We'll get to more of this in just one second. First, when the world gets too loud, something you can always do, create your own soundtrack by popping in your Raycon wireless earbuds. Sometimes you just need some upbeat music to pump you up before you see people or to stay calm with some guided meditation. Let me tell you right now, Raycons are the best way to listen. They come with a bunch of gel tips for your comfort. Unlike some other brands, they don't stick out of your ears. Raycons have a 32-hour battery life, so you can listen to what you want, when you want, for a really long time. They start at half the price of other premium audio brands. They sound just as good. And Raycons come with a 45-day happiness guarantee, so you really cannot lose. Create your own soundtrack with Raycon. Right now, my listeners can get 15% off their Raycon order at buyraycon.com/Ben. That's buyraycon.com/Ben to save 15% on Raycons. Buyraycon.com/Ben. Go check them out right now. Buyraycon.com/Ben. A great pair of wireless earbuds. I mean, it can cost you an arm and a leg. There's no reason it has to. Check out my friends over at Raycon. My listeners get 15% off when they use buyraycon.com/Ben. That's buyraycon.com/Ben. Save 15%. Alrighty, coming up, it seems that the left in the United States is falling for the same Fox News fallacy we've been talking about when it comes to COVID as well. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Paid for by Bar Justice. Attention. Have you or a loved one been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months? Zantac may be linked to these cancers. Bladder, colorectal, esophageal, intestinal, kidney, liver, ovarian, pancreatic, stomach, testicular, and uterine. If you or a loved one have been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months, call now. Never stop taking medication without first consulting a physician. Call right now for a free consultation. Call 800-379-9550. 800-379-9550.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws
that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-785-9132. That's 800-785-9132. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-785-9132.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
So the dream was to build your very own law practice. Be your own boss, call all the shots. But have things like billing, HR, timekeeping, and all the other management stuff turned your dream into a nightmare? Take charge of your practice with Lexicon. We're the intersection of practice management software and legal support services for your firm. You'll get more billable and livable hours back. Lexicon marks the spot for all your practice management needs. Visit lexiconservices.com/intersection to get the whole story or schedule a demo.
Doctors Without Borders teams confront hard facts in conflict and crisis zones. When others look away, we step in to act. Because measles still kills more than 100,000 children every year, we're there to vaccinate more than 1 million. Because some countries have only one or two mental health professionals, we provided over 400,000 mental health consultations last year. The fact is, your support makes our life-saving work possible. Picture the impact we can have together. DoctorsWithoutBorders.org.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So Nate Silver, the pollster, has a really interesting take on how Americans break down in terms of COVID policy. He put out this really sort of fascinating analysis of where the American public falls on COVID restrictions. And here's what he says. And it's worthy of exploring because I basically agree with this analysis. He says that there are essentially five groups in American life when it comes to these COVID lockdowns. Group A, he says about 25% of the electorate. This would be like the hard left. This is vaccinated, but not ready for a return to normal, and thinks society has opened up too fast. They're very worried about Delta, in favor of any and all restrictions, including lockdowns and remote learning. Some of this group will transition into Group B when and if cases start falling. Okay, Group B is the biggest single group. It's about 30%. These are the vaccinated, somewhat worried about Delta, in favor of modest restrictions like indoor masking, especially if they target the unvaccinated. At the same time, they don't want to return to lockdowns, although some could drift into Group A, like they could be more hard on lockdowns if cases keep rising or if there are scary new variants. This is quickly becoming the consensus position among college-educated elites. Okay, then there's Group C, about 15% of the population. This is the vaccinated but over the pandemic population and wary of restrictions, likely a mix of younger voters who don't vote at high rates and some center-right libertarian types. Okay, I fall into this category, right? I am Group C. I'm vaccinated. I'm over the pandemic. I believe the science does not support continued lockdowns. Not only do I think that it doesn't support continued lockdowns, I think that as a public policy matter, we are now done. You know who agrees with me would be Dr. Marty McCary of Johns Hopkins University. He has an excellent piece over at U.S. News and World Report today. He points out that as a physician with a lot of experience dealing with patients who don't follow what we ask them to do, I believe you win more bees with honey than fire. He says the vaccines are so good at protecting against death from COVID-19, those who are immune can feel good about living life without having to worry about becoming severely ill. Vaccines downgrade the infection to a mild seasonal virus, one we must learn to live with for years to come. Those who choose not to get vaccinated are making a poor health decision at their own individual risk. Again, this is Dr. Marty McCary. They pose no public health threat to those already immune. Would we be so stern toward people making similar or worse health choices to smoke, drink alcohol, or not wear a helmet when riding a bike? Over 85,000 Americans die annually from alcohol, and we don't have the same public health fervor or requirements to save those lives. Let's encourage vaccination rather than activate the personal liberty culture wars that result in people becoming more entrenched in their opposition. Also, says McCary, the notion we have to vaccinate every living, walking American and eventually every newborn in order to control the pandemic is based on the false assumption that the risk of dying from COVID-19 is equally distributed in the population. It's not. We've always known that. It's very hard for the virus to hurt someone who is young and healthy. That's still the case. while vaccine requirements for healthcare workers make sense, we would never extend those requirements outside of healthcare for, say, the flu shot. We'd simply say to the public, those who avoid the flu shot do so at their own risk. Okay, this is the rational decision. Okay, the rational decision here is to be part of what Nate Silver terms Group C, right? To get vaccinated, and then you're done. And if someone else chooses not to get vaccinated, it is no longer your business because you are now immune to dying from the virus on any baseline statistical level. Okay, and then there is Group D. This is 25% of the population. Unvaccinated and strongly opposed to any restrictions. Right, so that would be a lot of the Trump rural voters, for example, right, who are like, listen, I was never that worried about the virus, or I'm young and healthy, I'm still not worried about the virus, and I'm not asking anything of you. By the way, the vast majority of people who are unvaccinated fall into Group D. And finally, Group E, the fifth group, Nate Silver, again, this is his breakdown, he said that's about 5% of the population. He says those are people who are unvaccinated, but in favor of other restrictions. Indeed, they may think such restrictions are necessary to protect them because they can't or won't get vaccinated. This group probably leans Democratic and working class. Right, so presumably that would be minority voters in major American cities, maybe, maybe. Okay, so here is the important part about this breakdown. What this breakdown suggests is that about 70% of the American population, 70% of the American population is against lockdowns. Right? The biggest group is vaccinated, and they're a little worried about Delta, but not super worried about Delta. And if they were actually given the information about how not dangerous Delta is to them as the vaccinated, they would be significantly less worried about Delta. Right? They keep getting scared by the media into a belief that there's a variant right around the corner that is going to break through the vaccines at any moment. By the way, if there is, we cannot do anything to stop that in the United States. We can't. There are literally hundreds of millions of people who have this virus or have had this virus or who will get this virus. All there has to be is one group of people somewhere on Earth who are not vaccinated in order for there to be a new variant possibility. If you're a vaccinated person, you should not be seriously worried about Delta in terms of your own personal risk level. And by the way, in terms of the risk level to your children, because the stats on children being directly harmed by Delta are very, very skimpy. Remember, under 350 kids under the age of 18 in the United States have died of COVID, period, in the entire United States. Okay, so that means that 70% of the population is just not in favor of these sorts of lockdowns and mask mandates or anything like that. But because the right is saying that, the left feels the need to ignore that 70% of the population or try to scare Group B, the vaccinated, who are somewhat cautious, into being Group A, vaccinated who want a lockdown, which is the least understandable of any of these groups. That position makes no sense. Vaccinated people who want lockdowns are just out of touch with reality at this point. They don't care about the science. They're not interested in the science. But it seems like our public health establishment are so angry at so much of the American population for being over it that they're just going to continue to try and scare people. They're falling into the Fox News fallacy. Just because people like me are on the right, and people like me, I've been encouraging vaccinations since day one. People like Ron DeSantis, been encouraging vaccinations since day one. Just because there are a lot of people on the right who are pro-vaccine and also believe that the vaccine frees you up for life and that if you're a responsible adult, you now get to make a decision. The left has decided that they are going to go full lockdown. Okay, this is why you have this heavy pressure campaign being brought with regard to the unvaccinated, right? So Anthony Fauci, the great and sainted Dr. Anthony Fauci, he spent today ripping the unvaccinated and suggesting that they are going to be responsible for a brand new variant of Delta and that this is going to kill everybody. This is not effective. It's not. You know what? Honestly, you start to see some upticks in the number of people who are getting vaccinated. You know why? Because people are assessing their personal risk factors and deciding that perhaps they ought to get vaccinated, not because they're getting shouted at by Dr. Anthony Fauci, but because people do risk mitigation. It's how humanity has survived for several hundred thousand years. And here's Anthony Fauci going hard after the unvaxxed anyway.
My concern would be you may allow a variant that we haven't even recognized yet to come along and, in fact, be better at transmitting and more serious than the Delta. We haven't seen that yet. So rather than be worrying about these others that are around, let's make sure we don't let new ones come in.
Well, are unvaccinated people the reason we're seeing these new strains? And will an increase in vaccinations mitigate the virus morphing in multiple ways?
Well, that's a good one, because the answer is short, yes.
Okay, except for the fact that no matter how many vaccines you trash out in the United States, there's still going to be variants other places on Earth. Zero COVID is not a realistic goal. Fauci knows this. He's not saying that because that would suggest that we have basically reached the end of what we can do in terms of public policy, and he doesn't want to let go of it. He He just does not want to let go of it. By the way, you're seeing companies start to mirror that Group A, you know, that Group A sort of mentality, vaccinated but still in favor of lockdown. Amazon says it's now going to delay corporate employees returning to offices until next year. Next year, which is just madness at this point. And the average Amazon employee is probably 25 years old. Alrighty, coming up, the left continues to push more and more lockdowns despite the data. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at kcnr1460.com. Join Sue McClain weekday mornings from 6 to 7 for the Sue McClain News Hour, where you'll hear the up-to-the-minute local news, national and international news, weather, sports, and a whole lot more. Followed by Free Fire Radio from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. with Carl and Linda Bach. From 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, equal opportunity critics. From noon to 3, learn how to get out of debt with Dave Ramsey. From 3 to 6, don't miss constitutional expert Mark Levin. Monday through Thursday night, starting at 6 p.m., we have local shows featuring everything from the paranormal, local history, North State Now, and unsung heroes of our area. From 7 to 9, tune in to Ben Shapiro, your local downtown radio station, KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at kcnr1460.com.
This is RC from Tobacco and Brew with this month's Cigar of the Humidor. Today we're sharing Perez Carrillo Trilogy. This gift set is the pinnacle of years tirelessly dedicated to the perfection of cigars. Rating 95, 96, and 98 by Cigar Aficionado, these three cigars have put Ernesto Perez Carrillo at the top of the industry. Come down to the best cigar shop around, Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
Have you been putting off getting your colonoscopy due to COVID restrictions? Well, there's no better time than now. Due to the COVID-19 pandemic, colorectal cancer screenings have declined by 86%, and as a result, up to 10,000 more deaths are projected over the next decade. With early detection, colon cancer has a 90% survival rate, and it may even be preventable with a colonoscopy. At Reading Endoscopy Center, our number one priority is the health and safety of our patients, and our center has always been committed to maintaining strict infection control and prevention protocols. Schedule your colonoscopy today by calling us at 530-246-7000 or visiting readingendoscopy.com. Visit readingendoscopy.com.
Hi, this is Dr. Patricia Bay, and my radio show, Therapy in a Nutshell, which airs on Saturdays at 11 a.m. on KCNR 1460 AM or 96.5 FM, is a great show for you to listen to and learn how to effectively change your life. We talk about issues such as communication and trust, couples issues, and many more. Also, you can listen to the radio show on my podcast through the Anchor app, which is free and safe. Or you can tune into the iTunes or Spotify podcast and listen to it there. It's a nice show that'll help you throughout the day and throughout your life. So join me for Therapy in a Nutshell, Saturdays, 11 a.m. at KCNR Radio. This is Dr. Patricia Bay, trying to heal the world 1 hour at a time.
You get me every time.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to kcnr1460.com and click on the archives link.
Hey, come out and play. Have you seen the bill we all have to pay? The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. With all the talk about gun control and stripping firearms rights from law-abiding citizens, I just want you to remember that our country was founded on the idea that we would each be accountable to ourselves and each other for the safety of our society. Another important responsibility we have is a safe and effective use of a firearm. If that is your choice, give NFI a call at 999-1822 or find and register for one of our popular CCW courses at usgunpro.com. Remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
This is RC from Tobacco and Brew, bringing you this month's Cigar of the Humidor. Today's review is Mikolef Grande Bold, a classic Maduro stick with a rich, dark, oily Ecuadorian broadleaf wrapper surrounding Nicaragua's best tobacco. Full-bodied and full flavor, your palate will delight with hints of dark chocolate, nuts, and cedar. Come down to the best cigar shop around, Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So the left has decided that it's not just that they are against anything anyone on the right says. They specifically really don't like Ron DeSantis, the governor of Florida. There's more and more of a push, like day in and day out, more and more of a push to lock people down, mask people up. This is not borne out by reality. Okay, right now there's this continued focus, for example, on Florida. You've noticed. Okay, and this continued focus on Florida is largely because Joe Biden is very much afraid of Governor Ron DeSantis in Florida, who's a popular governor of Florida. The media every so often decide to focus in on a surge in Florida. They never focus on the overall death stats, because if they did, they would realize that Florida, with the second oldest population in America, really the oldest because they're a very large state with a lot of old people, Florida currently ranks 26th in the death per million rate, as opposed to New York and New Jersey, which rank respectively 2 and 1 in the death per million rate. So instead, every time there's a Florida surge, the media cover it, and then they yell at Ron DeSantis a lot. And Joe Biden jumped in on that. His suggestion, of course, is that if there were just mask mandates in Florida, that would kill the spread. Okay, there's only one problem. There is no proof that mask mandates have done this anywhere. There is no proof that mask mandates are effective. That doesn't mean masks aren't effective. Masks may be effective in certain circumstances, although the reality is Delta, because it's so transmissible, there are serious questions about whether masking is even super effective with regard to this. I'm not saying that. Professor William Hazeltine, formerly of Harvard Medical School, is saying that. He's saying Delta is going right through surgical masks, for example.
Another question you should ask when people come into your house to, or your workmen come in, are you vaccinated and will you wear your mask, please? I think that's another really important question for personal safety. Please wear your mask, and hopefully it's an N95 mask, because Delta has the propensity to go through some of the surgical mask, for example. It's not as good protection as it used to be. You're spewing out 1,000 times more virus than you did before, and so you need a tougher mask.
Okay, by the way, there's not a single child in America, right? When they're talking about kids wearing masks in schools, kids are not wearing N95s. Kids are wearing cloth masks. I know, my kids wore cloth masks all of last year. They wore it at summer camp this year as well, because the camp they went to was hyperactive about this sort of stuff. Okay, but Joe Biden is targeting Ron DeSantis over this. So you remember a couple of days ago, he ripped DeSantis. DeSantis pushed back on him. Well, now Joe Biden forgot who Ron DeSantis is. Now, I'm just going to play you this clip. I think there's at least a 50-50 shot that Joe Biden is being honest, and he literally does not remember who Ron DeSantis is. And that's not because he doesn't know who DeSantis is. It's because Joe Biden is not with us and has not been with us for quite some time. Here's the President of the United States.
DeSantis, who is using your words about don't be in the way, and he's saying, I am in the way to block too much interference from the federal government. Your response, Mr. President?
Governor who?
DeSantis.
Governor who? Oh, the guy that you were targeting, you know, from the White House? Joe Biden has been losing that exchange, and so he has to do Governor who. But, again, this is a case where the left refuses to acknowledge the realities on the ground. One of those realities is that the R rate in Florida is apparently waning. The R rate is the reproduction rate of the particular virus. Okay, when there is a massive spread, that means that people are spreading it to more and more people. Okay, already it seems as though Florida is now on the downslope of that. Now, that doesn't mean that infections are on the downslope in Florida. It means that infections in the next couple of weeks are likely to start declining, and declining pretty markedly, as they have in a wide variety of other countries already. In fact, Florida healthcare CEOs, they're already saying, like, despite the media coverage, that Florida hospitals are completely overwhelmed, there's no room, people are dying in the aisles. Okay, that's not true. here at Florida healthcare CEOs yesterday talking about how, yes, of course they're busier with COVID. They're seeing more cases, but they still have capacity.
Our ICUs last time around were running 40% of our inpatients. Right now we're down to 25% of our inpatients in ICUs. Other hospitals in South Florida are seeing even less numbers than that, between 15 and 20% of their patient ICUs.
Well, Ron DeSantis points this out as well. He says the media is spreading misinformation about Florida being overwhelmed. He says Florida is not actually overwhelmed at this point. That doesn't mean that Florida hasn't had to shift capacity. But this is not like it was back during January, where the hospitals were actually in danger of being, you know, sort of an overflow territory.
We've had seen significant increases in COVID patients, but as the CEO of Tampa General said, that's 10 to 15% of their total census. And it's important when the media is spreading this misinformation and actually lying, it could deter someone from going in to get care for things like heart problems or stroke. And so all those CEOs said, we are treating everybody. We're open for business. You know, we're busier with COVID than we were 6 weeks ago, but please come in and get care.
Okay, the point here is that when it comes to the so-called Fox News fallacy being described by Roy Teixeira, when it comes to COVID, it's the DeSantis fallacy. Whatever DeSantis says must be treated by the media as though it is completely outrageous, even though a huge majority of Americans kind of agree with it. But again, if you take a look at that Nate Silver breakdown, again, you will see that 70% of Americans are pretty skeptical of a lot of the measures that are being recommended. And if that 30% of people who are, like, in favor of some mild measures, particularly for the unvaccinated, if they actually knew about their own risk factors, I have a feeling a lot of those people would be in my category of vaccinated, I'm done. Okay, but the left can't let go of it because DeSantis is bad. And so you have CNN's national security analyst, for example, telling the unvaccinated that we should actually stop them from flying at this point. One of the CNN security analyst, he said, there's no such thing as a federal mandate, but the federal government can use carrots and sticks and privileges and burdens. One of the areas where it can do that is on airline travel, because the U.S. government sets the rules and conditions for it. Okay, here's the thing about airline travel. Airline travel has been pretty damn safe since the beginning of the pandemic. Okay, there have been no data linking airline travel, like people getting COVID on planes. Okay, that is not, so far as we are aware, a main vector of transmission. And there have been multiple studies done on this. One of the reasons is because planes have excellent HEPA filters. They're filtering the entire air of the plane, like every 3 or 4 minutes. So the notion that we have to shut down air travel for the unvaccinated is really kind of silly, and particularly if you're doing that on behalf of the vaccinated, which is really silly. Also, you have people like, again, the DeSantis effect here, the Department of Education head, Miguel Cardona, saying that it's because of DeSantis that schools might shut down in Florida. Are you kidding? DeSantis is the only one who kept schools open. You guys shut down all the schools last year for no damned reason. You shut them down in California the entire year. You shut them down in New York for the entire year. And it's Ron DeSantis who's going to shut down education? You literally had the CDC writing school reopening guidelines along with the American Federation of Teachers and putting in a bunch of anti-scientific nonsense and blatherskite about social distancing small children and having them use plexiglass. And it's Ron DeSantis who's going to shut down. I mean, the gaslighting here is really extraordinary. Here's the Department of Education head, Miguel Cardona, going after DeSantis.
Don't be the reason why schools are interrupted. Our kids have suffered enough. Let's do what we know works. Let's do what we know works across the country. We shouldn't get politics doesn't have a role in this.
Politics doesn't have a role in this? Really, doesn't it? You literally wrote the CDC guidance with help from people who want to continue to shut down the schools. The DeSantis effect is just the Fox News effect. That's all this is. That's all it is. And it's getting even worse. Now the Democrats have decided they're going to full-scale embrace vaccine passports. In fact, MSNBC's Stephanie Ruhle, objective journalisming, she says, I don't even understand the argument against vaccine passports. Don't you, though? Like, I can explain it really, really quickly to you. It turns out that if you tell everybody who's vaccinated they get to go all the special places, and everybody else who's unvaccinated has to hang out together, you're going to get a faster spread. Do you understand? I did it in small words and short sentences so that you could understand. Here's Stephanie Ruhle saying she literally doesn't understand why a vaccine passport is a bad idea. By the way, Israel has been doing vaccine passports again, and Israel is now going to full lockdown probably at the beginning of the holidays in September. Here is Stephanie Ruhle.
And I don't understand those who are against showing proof of vaccine. Have they never had to show their passport, show their ID, or take their kids to school? It makes no sense to me.
Oh, my God. These are the exact same people who say that it's racism to make you show your ID to vote. So let's just get this straight. It's racism to make you show your ID to vote because black people apparently are incapable of getting a voter ID. But it's not racism to make people show their vaccine card if they are unvaccinated. Disproportionately black people are unvaccinated in this country, particularly in major cities. You'll notice that there's a heavy crossover between black population in the United States and unvaccinated areas. There are two large groups of people in the U.S. who are not getting vaccinated at the same rates as everybody else. One is rural conservatives, and the other is inner city minorities. Those are the two unvaccinated groups in the United States. Unvaccinated for wildly variant reasons, except that there's a common distrust of the government, I think, that runs through both. Pretty astonishing stuff. Meanwhile, Biden's COVID advisor, Jeffrey Zients, he says that Yelp is now going to let businesses list their vaccination policies. This is, I've said before, I think this is a predicate to what comes next, which is this sort of social credit system where businesses are going to start basically carding you for a wide variety of social sins. This is just the beginning.
Businesses know vaccinations are a way to keep their workers and customers safe and to keep their doors open. And today, Yelp is announcing a new feature that allows consumers to search for businesses with fully vaccinated workers or businesses that require proof of vaccination to enter the business.
Yeah, again, so much of this is just being driven by, if Republicans oppose it, it must be good. The ultimate example of this was MSNBC's Chris Hayes. This was pretty hilarious. The other day, Chris Hayes attacked Marco Rubio for supposedly not pushing vaccines. There's only one problem with that, which is that he literally quoted Marco Rubio pushing vaccines. So Marco Rubio tweeted out, quote, "Stop with the mask fetish. If you want to wear a mask as a courtesy to those around you, or because you're in no mood to get even a little sick, go ahead. If you want your kids to mask in schools, that's your right. But we aren't going to mask your way out of this." Right? And then he concluded that people should actually vaccinate. Right? He finished by suggesting openly. He says, we're not going to mask your way out of this. And then he put up like an actual verbal statement in which he said at the very end that you should mask. Quote, "The answer here is not masks. As I said, you're not going to mask your way out of this. The answer here is vaccines. Get vaccinated. That's the answer." Chris Hayes naturally tweeted, "This is a really perfect example of the constant triangulating cowardice and whataboutism that's infected the entire party and movement. He can't just say, hey, get vaccinated. Have to find some way to own the libs." No, Chris, I have a feeling you're missing a mirror in your home. He literally says, get vaccinated, but you have to find a way to triangulate so as to blame Republicans for people not getting vaccinated, even when Republicans are telling people to get vaccinated. Okay, guys, if you want to keep going with the Fox News fallacy, all you, or the DeSantis fallacy, whatever you choose to call it, enjoy yourselves, because it is not going to redound to your benefit. Alrighty, in just 1 second, we'll get to the latest on Andrew Cuomo. Will he stay or will he go? I don't know. We'll get to that in 1 second. First, a few decades ago, private citizens used to be that, private. What changed? Well, the internet changed. Think about everything you've browsed, searched for, watched, tweeted. Now imagine all that data being crawled through, collected, aggregated by third parties into a permanent public record. Your record. That's why to keep my data private when I go online, I turn to ExpressVPN. Did you know there are hundreds of data brokers out there whose sole business it is to buy and sell your data? The worst part? They don't have to tell you who you're selling it to or get your consent. One of those data points is your IP address, which data harvesters use to uniquely identify you and your location. But ExpressVPN reroutes my connection through an encrypted server. My IP address is masked. That makes it more difficult for third parties to identify me and harvest my data. The best part is how easy ExpressVPN is to use. No matter what device you are on, phone, laptop, smart TV, all you have to do is tap one button, and now you are protected. So, if, like me, you believe your data is your business, secure yourself with the number one rated VPN on the market. Visit expressvpn.com/ben. Get 3 extra months for free. That's expressvpn.com/ben. Go to expressvpn.com/ben to learn more. Alrighty, coming up, the big question for New York Governor Andrew Cuomo. Will he stay or will he go? This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Paid for by Bar Justice. Attention. Have you or a loved one been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months? Zantac may be linked to these cancers. Bladder, colorectal, esophageal, intestinal, kidney, liver, ovarian, pancreatic, stomach, testicular, and uterine. If you or a loved one have been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months, call now. Never stop taking medication without first consulting a physician. Call right now for a free consultation. Call 800-379-9550. 800-379-9550.
What is Pop Earth? Pop Earth is short for Population Earth, a 501c3 nonprofit focused on providing holistic health services and options for those with special needs, including autism and other developmental disorders. Do you know someone ages 5 to 65 with a developmental disorder that could benefit from yoga, Reiki, dance, exercise, and massage therapy? These sessions help with coordination, balance, stress, and more.
Learn more at popearth.org. That's popearth.org.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
So the dream was to build your very own law practice, be your own boss, call all the shots. But have things like billing, HR, timekeeping, and all the other management stuff turned your dream into a nightmare? Take charge of your practice with Lexicon. We're the intersection of practice management software and legal support services for your firm. You'll get more billable and livable hours back. Lexicon marks the spot for all your practice management needs. Visit lexiconservices.com/intersection to get the whole story or schedule a demo.
We call him Willy Wonka. He's a chocolate lab. His belly itched, and he would actually lay in the grass and scoot across it to scratch. And Sheba, his sister, she scratched at her ears real bad, and she shook her head so much, she wound up with cauliflower ears.
DinoVite.com. DinoVite is nutrition.
When we first got the DinoVite, they cleaned the bowls up real good. Her ears, they're a whole lot better. Wonka, his belly, it's all really cleaned up. He flops over and lays on his back and just kicks his legs, and I call it his happy dance. They look good and even smell good in between baths. You should give your dogs DinoVite before something happens. And that's kind of like preventative maintenance.
DinoVite for life.
It makes them healthier and happier.
You won't believe how happy your dog will be.
And your dogs will love it just like mine do.
DinoVite.com. Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So here's the question. Will Andrew Cuomo stay or will he go? So that's up to the legislature at this point because he ain't going nowhere. I mean, there is no way he is going to quit. There is no political upside to quitting in American politics anymore. This started with Bill Clinton. There is now no standard as to when a politician should resign. Right? When a politician is caught in flagrante delicto, the typical history of that was that up until Bill Clinton, people just quit. Bill Clinton did not quit. He stuck around. He kind of bulled his way forward through it. And he lived long enough to become a hero again with the Democratic Party base until the point where he became inconvenient, and then he was kind of jettisoned, and then he's still brought back from time to time when he is useful. And from that, politicians learned a very simple thing. Never resign. Right? Make them come and get you. And Andrew Cuomo is one of those politicians. And frankly, I don't blame him. You'll recall that Al Franken, the senator from Minnesota, he resigned after allegations that he was groping women during photo shoots and, like, grabbing their asses in the middle of photo lines and all this sort of stuff. And he resigned. And the real reason that he resigned was not because the Democrats had suddenly decided that ass grabbery was a real problem. The reason that he resigned is because his resignation came right in the middle of the Roy Moore controversy in Alabama. And the idea that the Democrats were trying to push is that Democrats were really good at policing their own in the Me Too moment, but Republicans were really bad at it. Well, as it turns out, Franken resigned, and then the Republicans actually were pretty good at policing the Me Too moment with Roy Moore. He was nominated for the Senate, and then he lost, and now there was a senator from Alabama who was a Democrat, right, named Doug Jones. So it turns out that was a waste. And ever since, Al Franken has been trying to climb his way back into politics. He says now that he regrets having resigned in the first place. Well, the same thing applies to Andrew Cuomo. Well, now it looks like the New York State Assembly is going to start its impeachment investigation. They announced that on Thursday. According to FoxNews.com, the Assembly Judiciary Committee had law firm Davis Polk & Wardwell conduct an independent inquiry and have asked Cuomo to provide any materials he would like to submit on his own behalf as the investigation comes to an end. The firm told Cuomo, quote, "We write to inform you that the committee's investigation is nearing completion and the Assembly will soon consider potential articles of impeachment against your client. Accordingly, we invite you to provide any additional evidence or written submissions you would like the committee to consider before its work concludes." The Assembly also stated its attorneys had issued a subpoena to Cuomo for materials related to their investigation, but that he hadn't turned anything over as of yet. Cuomo's senior advisor, again named Rich Azzapardi, responded on Thursday, quote, "The Assembly has said it is doing a full and thorough review of the complaints and has offered the governor and his team an opportunity to present facts and their perspective. The governor appreciates the opportunity. We will be cooperating." The Judiciary Committee for the New York State Assembly is set to meet on Monday. Once their investigation is finished, the 150-member assembly would have to pass an impeachment resolution with a simple majority of 76 votes for the matter to go to the state Senate for a trial. Right now, there are already 80 assembly members on record expressing support for the impeachment. Normally, the trial would be heard by the senators, the seven judges on the New York Court of Appeals, and the lieutenant governor. If the governor is the one under impeachment, the lieutenant governor and president pro tem, who is currently the Senate majority leader, Andrea Stewart-Cousins, are excluded because they're in the line of succession. Two-thirds of the court is needed to convict. That would be 46 votes. To date, there are 37 senators who have gone on record supporting the progression of the impeachment process. So this thing looks like it's sort of on knife's edge. And prominent Democrats who don't like Cuomo. And here's the real thing. No one likes Cuomo, right? If he were popular with his own party the way that Ralph Northam was, or even Justin Fairfax in Virginia, he'd be fine. The problem is that Andrew Cuomo has spent the last several years crapping all over everyone in the Democratic Party, and now they are coming for their revenge. Democratic Representative Kathleen Rice, who's a representative on the federal level, she says it's time to get Cuomo out of there.
The governor still has the same people around him who pretty much aided and abetted his behavior, as the report documents. And so the faster we get the governor out of office and all of those who worked for him and clean up the executive chamber, the better it's going to be for people who just want to work in government and work in public service. They shouldn't have to face going to a hostile, toxic work environment every day just to do their jobs.
Hey, Andrea Stewart-Cousins, who's the New York Senate Majority Leader, again, she won't be voting on this because she's in the line of succession. She says that Cuomo should resign because we can all see the writing on the wall at this point.
I think so many people who are involved, and we are watching it up close, and we know that this is not going to end well. This is why so many people are saying to the governor, step aside, resign now.
Okay, so I have a question. Do we really think the principle has broken out here? Or do we think that it's just a good time for Democrats to jettison Cuomo? They got what they wanted out of him last year. Now he's no longer useful to them. And so now they're going to dump his body by the side of the road. Now, there could be something good that theoretically comes out of this. Maybe there's a new standard. Maybe the new standard is that there is willingness to impeach people inside your own party when there's a full-scale documented investigation that demonstrates the guilt on a particular charge. And that's what it requires. Because here's the problem. There's been this gray area for a long time, and Biden illustrates it, right? Because there have been allegations about Joe Biden from Tara Reid, right, about him literally sexually assaulting her. And those were not taken supremely seriously. There was never a massive investigation, but he could rest on that, right? He could say there was never a massive investigation. She said something. I said something. That's pretty much it. So I'm not resigning. And nobody's really pressured him inside the Democratic Party to get out of the race. Kamala Harris did briefly. And then, of course, she flipped and she just was like, I'll be his vice president now. You remember that. Okay, so what is the new standard? Well, if the new standard is that we go through the entire investigative procedure and then we impeach, and under the threat of impeachment, people quit, I don't think that's a horrible standard. And I think, frankly, maybe that should be the new standard. But if the standard is just going to be that we discard politicians when they're no longer convenient, then I'm about as cynical about this as it's possible to be. I do not think that politicians have suddenly grown spines and have suddenly decided that they are, in fact, you know, folks who are trustworthy on matters of morality. And meanwhile, speaking of Joe Biden, I don't think it's any wonder that as Joe Biden engages in the sort of DeSantis fallacy and the Fox News fallacy, his approval ratings continue to tank. According to John Nolte, his fraudulency, Joe Biden, is doing a terrible job. Even the far-left fake pollsters at Quinnipiac couldn't juice their latest poll to lift him over 50% approval rating. Quinnipiac is wildly biased toward Biden, as Nolte points out. In 2020, Quinnipiac had Biden winning Florida by 5, Trump won by 3. They had Biden winning Ohio by 4, Trump won by 8. Right, so Quinnipiac is very pro-Biden, and even they can't get Biden over 50% over that hump. And meanwhile, the Democrats know they are wedded to Joe Biden because lurking in the background is the deeply unlikable, terrible politician, Kamala Harris. In fact, it's so bad over at Democratic Party HQ that they had basically an emergency meeting over the weekend to ask what can be done about Kamala Harris. Here is what Axios reports, quote, a group of the Democratic Party's most influential women met for dinner at a home in the nation's capital last month to game out how to defend VP Kamala Harris and her chief of staff, Tina Flournoy, against a torrent of bad press. The host was Kiki McLean, Democratic public affairs expert, former advisor to both Clintons. Her guests included Harris confidant Minion Moore, two former DNC officials, Donna Brazile and Leah Daughtry, Biden advisor and leader of his outside group, Stephanie Cutter, former Hillary Clinton spokeswoman and Democratic strategist, Adrienne Elrod and Karen Finney, and former Obama White House communications director, Jennifer Palmieri. Nobody at the VP's office was at the dinner, But Harris is attuned to her outside network of supporters. Harris's office declined to comment on the dinner. The dinner had an urgent purpose, according to Axios. The operatives spent the dinner discussing how to fight back against negative perceptions, how to help Harris boost her national media footing. They're trying to figure out exactly how they help Harris, but they're having some problems. Right? One of these sources said, many of us lived through the Clinton campaign and want to help curb some of the gender dynamics in press coverage. It was like, we've seen this before. It's subtle. When things aren't going well for a male politician, we ask very different questions, et cetera, et cetera. But bottom line is, Democrats are scared bleepless about the possibility of Kamala Harris running in 2024. They are wedded, for better or worse, to the old man. The problem is, the old man is engaging in that Fox News fallacy. He is engaging in radical policy day in and day out. He's undercutting the only reason why Americans like him in the first place, namely that he was supposed to be a houseplant. He is not being a houseplant, and it is not going to end well for him. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra. Some school districts have already opened their doors to students and teachers with a mixed bag of face covering rules.
Y'all ready for school today?
Like many states, Georgia is leaving it up to local schools to decide whether face coverings will be required. Henry County, where students are back in school, has decided not to insist on masks.
We actually operated school when the hospitals were far more strained than they are today.
Here's Henry County School Superintendent Mary Elizabeth Davis.
We are highly recommending that individuals opt for a mask as an added layer of prevention.
Parents at Tussahaw Elementary had mixed feelings about the policy. Charles Dunn is a grandparent of a student at the school.
I think we should take precautions, definitely.
Georgia Governor Brian Kemp said, with the surge in infections, the state has seen an increase in COVID-19 vaccinations. But he's opposed to COVID-related mandates. I'm Jennifer King.
Hiring surged in July as American employers added some 943,000 jobs. Unemployment rate dropped to 5.4% as the economy continues to bounce back with surprising vigor from last year's coronavirus shutdown. The Biden administration is discussing a range of options, their words, for new vaccine mandates or penalties.
Federal workers are being required to sign forms attesting they've been vaccinated against the coronavirus. The new directive warns they will face disciplinary action and potentially criminal prosecution if they lie on the form. Meanwhile, White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki applauded United Airlines' announcement that it would require workers to get vaccinated.
And we hope to see even more action from the public and private sector over the coming weeks.
She also said the White House is looking into new mandates that might cover domestic travelers and nursing home workers. Greg Clugston, Washington.
Check out the latest news, read the best analysis. You can find them both at townhall.com.
Call him Willy Wonka. He's a chocolate lab. His belly itched, and he would actually lay in the grass and scoot across it to scratch. And Sheba, his sister, she scratched at her ears real bad, and she shook her head so much, she wound up with cauliflower ears.
DinoVite.com. DinoVite is nutrition.
When we first got the DinoVite, they cleaned the bowls up real good. Her ears, they're a whole lot better. Wonka, his belly, it's all really cleaned up. He flops over and lays on his back and just kicks his legs, and I call it his happy dance. They look good and even smell good in between baths. You should give your dogs DinoVite before something happens. And that's kind of like preventative maintenance.
DinoVite for life.
It makes them healthier and happier.
You won't believe how happy your dog will be.
And your dogs will love it just like mine do.
DinoVite.com.
The Black Hills of South Dakota are roaring with motorcycles and crowds as the Sturgis Motorcycle Rally kicked off today. The annual rally returns just as coronavirus cases in the state are rising with the more contagious Delta variant.
They could have shut the rally down and everybody would have still showed up anyway, I think, last year. So it's one of those things that if you want to do it, that should be your choice to come out and have a good time. And if not, then that's your choice as well.
Organizers are expecting at least 700,000 people to show up during the 10-day event. Public health experts worry the rally will again be a vehicle to spread coronavirus infections. Hundreds of rally goers were infected last year, spreading the virus to other communities. Starting Monday, Amazon requiring all of its 900,000 U.S. warehouse workers to wear masks indoors regardless of their vaccination status. More news and analysis at townhall.com. U.S.-based employees of United Airlines need to be fully vaccinated no later than October 25th.
United is the first major U.S. airline to require vaccinations for workers, but it joins a growing number of big corporations doing so. Microsoft, Google, and Facebook have said they will require proof of vaccination for employees as well as visitors to their U.S. offices starting this fall. And Tyson's Food this week announced it will require all U.S. employees to get vaccinated by November. That's notable because, unlike the tech companies, Tyson relies on many lower-paid workers who cannot do their jobs remotely. I'm Ben Thomas.
National Highway Traffic Safety Administration is investigating whether some Mercedes-Benz Sprinter vans can shift out of park and unexpectedly roll away. It's also looking into whether Ford acted quickly enough when it recalled more than 620,000 vehicles last year to fix faulty rear-view cameras. More on these stories at townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
These are unprecedented times. Challenging how the YMCA works to strengthen community as we have for nearly 170 years. But we've always found ways to help people and communities in times of crisis. Right now, Ys across the country are providing emergency childcare, shelter, food programs, and outreach to seniors. But we can't do it alone. Whether you're connected to the Y or have a fond Y memory, we need you to stay with us. Reach out to your local Y today and stay with us for a better us.
They're the ones that actually defunded the police by $1.9 trillion, you know, when 100% of them voted against the supplemental for Capitol Police.
Cori Bush thinks the GOP defunded the police, and yet she's out everywhere telling everyone who will listen that we must, in fact, defund the police. It is the Chris Plant Show. Mike Opelka in once again for Chris Plant on a Friday. It's just astounding to me. Just amazing. It's astounding. So did Cori Bush change parties? Did she move from the D side to the R side? Is that what's happening? Because she actually said that the Republicans are the ones defunding the police. They're the ones who want to defund the police. But correct me if I'm wrong, she's the one who keeps saying it.
We need to defund the police and put that money into social safety nets because we're trying to save lives. I have private security because my body is worth being on this planet right now.
Nobody else's is worth being on the planet, though, is it? Is it? Is it, Congresswoman Bush? Yeah, her body is worth being on the planet right now. It was quite an enlightening interview. I have to tell you, yesterday I thought, well, it's going to be Friday. There's not going to be anything really fun to play around with on the show because everyone's going to be working on leaving town. Although Schumer still hasn't had his vote on the infrastructure bill. We have news on that, too. There's a whole bunch of news on the infrastructure bill. But this Cori Bush, she's just entertaining us all get out. She was on CBS out in front of the Capitol, and they were talking to her all about the defunding the police and about how important she is. But nobody else is important, right? Right, Congresswoman? No, it's you. It's you. And she's saying that she has to have security. She has to have a whole lot of private security.
I have private security because my body is worth being on this planet right now. I have private security because they, the white supremacist, racist narrative that they drive into this country.
Yeah, the racist, that we're a racist country, according to Cori Bush. We're terrible. The federal government, according to Cori Bush, the federal government is racist.
The federal government must account for its ongoing role in perpetuating, supporting, and upholding white supremacy.
Very interesting that you're part of the federal government, aren't you? How does that work out? Very interesting. Even Chris Cillizza over at CNN, even one of the people whose job it is to carry the water for this party, for these Democrats, for these progressives, even Chris Cillizza wrote a piece yesterday on the CNN, and the headline reads, well, that was a gift. Cori Bush hands a gift to the GOP for 2022. I guarantee you, we are going to be hearing and seeing Cori Bush and what she said yesterday in various forms for the next 15 months. It's going to be out there. It's absolutely going to be out there. She's going to keep saying it.
We need to defund the police and put that money into social safety nets.
Here's a news flash for you, Cori Bush. The police, the men and women of law enforcement, they are a social safety net. They are part of the reason why America has safe streets compared to a lot of other places in the world. They are part and parcel of the social safety net. What a maroon. Now, she just doesn't get it. She really does not get it at all. If you want to weigh in on anything today, obviously the phones will be open all day, as they always are here at the Chris Plant Show, 888-630-9625, 888-630-9625. We'll have more fun with Cori Bush all day long, pretty much. And, there's so many other topics to get to. There was good news on the economy. You have to kind of see the jobs numbers that came out today. 943,000 jobs added this week, and the unemployment numbers are down to 5.4%. I think we need that. And I know there are some of my cohorts who will say, well, you know, don't give Biden credit for that. No, the recovery is a broad recovery, we hope. Most of that was in restaurants and entertainment, service industry stuff. There were 27,000 manufacturing jobs added, but there is the need for us to have a strong economy in order for us to get back on track and to get away from all the madness about possible lockdowns, because we don't need that at all. That's really what this is about. It's about getting the economy going. And if you get the economy going, then you get the need for all these social service programs, the spending, out of the way. The Democrats will go, well, you know, we need to spend a bazillion dollars every day. No, you don't. The economy is moving. 5.4% unemployment is the envy of many other nations in this world. And so I'm hopeful that the economy can hold its own and not need more help from the government. And that means the government will get back to doing things that are smarter instead of trying to be socially engineering things. It's just so irritating. And I know I've said that a million times this week, but it really is. So we will, as I said, we'll have fun with Cori Bush. We will have more fun with the battle between Joe Biden and Governor DeSantis. This is an interesting one. Yesterday, Joe Biden went after Governor DeSantis publicly. We had a little bit of an event at the White House yesterday. Joe got to drive an electric Jeep. He was given the opportunity. As you know, the president will get the opportunity when American companies come up with a good idea or a new product and they want to try and marry it to the agenda of the administration. And the agenda is electric vehicles. Let's be very direct. That executive order he signed yesterday was all about pushing us towards electric vehicles. So Jeep brought an electric Rubicon. to the White House, and Joe got to drive it around the White House. And based on what I'm seeing, this wasn't like the Ford situation. Remember the Ford situation when Ford's Lightning, the electric pickup truck, Joe was allowed to test drive it on the test track in Michigan, but it comes to be that there were two steering wheels in that car. It was not a car ready for the road yet. It was an experimental version, a test version, and they had another set of controls on the right side, which I think is wise in any car. Joe Biden is behind the driver's side, that you have a secondary control system. So he got to drive around the White House yesterday in the electric Jeep, and everybody was very excited, and they chased him around the White House, and then they asked him some questions about Governor DeSantis. And Joe was very clever, and I'm obviously being ironic. Joe was very clever, and he's playing a little game here. So Kelly O'Donnell is asking Joe Biden, what do you think about Governor DeSantis, who, when you said don't be in the way and he said I am in the way, then Joe stares at her for a moment briefly and then responds. So he said, Governor who? And of course the press corps goes, oh, you're so funny, Mr. President. You're the funniest president ever in the history of presidents. Yeah, this is really a bad idea, I think, for the White House to go this direction. Governor who? So Joe's going to get into a war of words with Governor DeSantis? This is really not going to turn out well for him. If these two were to have a debate, an actual debate, where they didn't have earpieces or teleprompters or set up questions, and they just had to go back and forth on topics, DeSantis would wipe the debate floor with the current president of the United States. It would be like taking a UFC champ to a grammar school and saying, see that little guy over there? He just said your mother is ugly and she dresses you funny. Joe would be toast. So it's just not smart. But I'll tell you what this is doing. This is giving credibility to DeSantis and any 2024 aspirations he may have. And it's also giving him a monstrous opportunity to raise money, to fundraise off of this, which he is apparently doing. So this may be a calculated effort by the White House. I'm not sure. I do think that it's probably not the best idea, but there it is. It's out there. We'll see what happens. I think Governor DeSantis is a very clever man, and I hope he has a lot of fun with this. As I mentioned, the phones are open, 888-630-9625, 888-630-9625. We talked briefly at the third hour of the program yesterday with an attorney about the eviction moratorium, and I see Wayne is on the phone from Jefferson, Maryland, on that very topic. Wayne, welcome to the Chris Plant Show with Mike Opelka.
Good morning. How are you? And before we start, I just always, like I always do with you, want to give you a chance to bring everybody up to date on Riley's progress. I was watching his match the other night. That didn't go that well, but you might tell everybody how well he's done this year.
Wayne is talking about my nephew, Riley Opelka, professional tennis player. I was actually at his match yesterday afternoon in D.C., where he faced off against an Australian. It was a very close battle, and he lost it. It was the third round of the D.C. Open. It's a great tournament. We still have about five Americans getting into the quarterfinals. But my nephew is currently, I think, number 34 in the world and number 2 among American men. So thank you for asking. He's a good kid. He's off to Toronto next week. And let's hope a lot of Americans are rising through the ranks. As I said, there's so many good ones and good guys, and that's really the best thing. So thank you for asking.
I always try to watch his matches when he's on the tennis channel. But to my point, I'm a landlord, and I had one of my tenants stop paying rent last June. Now, eventually some state aid came through, but that's absurd because the government has been asking landlords to shoulder the burden of the fact that these people aren't paying the rent. Now, I'm a lawyer, too, even though I never practiced. I just worked on the Hill. And the one thing they taught you when you were dealing with UCC Title IX is the bank always wins. The bank's going to get its money. The bank's going to get its mortgage money. So the bottom line is, who is going to pay for it? If you prevent evictions, you put the landlord in the position where he essentially has to go through his life savings to pay for this person who's a freeloader.
Yeah.
And one last point on this.
Oh, did we lose you?
No, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, but your last point, you were teeing up your last point here.
Yeah, my last point is that the Third Amendment to the Bill of Rights says the government can't force you to quarter troops. I realize that the people in the houses aren't troops, but the principle is the same, that you cannot force somebody to put other people in your house freeloading on you. And that's a point that needs to be driven home. This needs to be stopped. The Supreme Court came out and said Congress needs to do something on this. And I hope there's some conservative judge who will say, who will put a nationwide TRO, temporary restraining order on this to stop it. All the Democrat judges do that, but a Republican judge never does.
Well,
we need to stop this.
Hopefully, Wayne, you and your other landlords can get to a judge that will do just that. I'm up against the time block here, but I want to make a couple of points. This new order from the CDC, this eviction moratorium, covers 90% of the country. 90% of the rental properties in the country are given the opportunity to not have their rent paid to landlords by tenants just by claiming the hardship from the pandemic. And as we just said, we have an unemployment rate of 5.4%. We're not in a horrible situation. There are millions of jobs out there. So this is really a horrific thing. If we had a Republican Congress, this would be an impeachable offense for the president because he pushed this, and it's against a Supreme Court ruling. There are groups of landlords who are currently filing suits, class action suits, and hopefully something will happen. But I have more horrific news in relation to this very story. If you think rent abatement or rent avoidance is one thing, wait till you hear what Rashida Tlaib is up to. One of the members of the squad has just pitched an idea that is even worse than that. I'll explain just around the corner. It's Mike Opelka in for Chris Plant on The Chris Plant Show.
You're listening to The Chris Plant Show.
I struggled with symptoms like frequent gas and stomach pain for years.
I was bloated all the time with daily diarrhea.
At first, I thought it was what I was eating.
I kept thinking it was stomach issues.
So I did my research and talked to my doctor, and we finally uncovered the truth.
It was actually EPI. Exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI, is a condition where your pancreas is unable to help break down your food.
It can lead to symptoms like diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, unexplained weight loss, and oily stools.
And EPI symptoms can be confused with those of other common digestive conditions, like irritable bowel syndrome, Crohn's, and celiac disease.
So getting to the right diagnosis meant being more open with my doctor about the severity of my symptoms and how often they were happening.
But there's good news. EPI is manageable, so don't wait any longer. Use the symptom checker at identifyepi.com and schedule a visit or call with your doctor to ask, Could I have EPI?
Sponsored by AbbVie.
Want to hear something amazing? Discover matches all the cash back you earn on your credit card at the end of your first year, automatically, dollar for dollar, with no limit on how much you can earn. Extra cash? Come on, how amazing is that? In fact, it's even more amazing when you realize all the places where Discover is accepted. 99% of places in the U.S. that take credit cards. So when it comes to Discover, get used to hearing yes more often. Learn more at discover.com/yes. 2021 Nielsen Report. Limitations apply.
When the forgotten poor are in need of healing, they wait for a ship unlike any other. Mercy Ships, a floating hospital staffed by volunteers, heroes of mercy who donate their time to save lives.
Every human has the right to have a place at the table of the human race.
If you could just see the smiles that you get when lives have been changed, then it would make it all worth it.
To learn more about Heroes of Mercy, go to mercyships.org.
Want to hear some inside scoop? If your kids are as ready to go back to school as mine are, you've got to check out Kohl's. I got my daughters the cutest sew tops for under $18, JanSport backpacks for 25% off, and 30% off Levi's jeans for me. I even saved an extra 15% and picked up Kohl's cash. So, yeah, not sure who's more excited right now, me or the girls. Plus style. 50% offer ends August 15th. Levi's coupons do not apply. Some exclusions apply. See store or Kohl's account for details.
Angie's List is now Angie. Summer is the perfect time to book your next home project. From lawn care to a new patio, Angie makes it simple to connect with pros who can get the job done right. See reviews, upfront pricing, and instantly book hundreds of projects. Plus, when you book and pay through Angie, we'll cover your project up to the full purchase price, plus limited damage protection with our happiness guarantee. Check out Angie.com, and for more on the happiness guarantee, go to Angie.com/happiness-guarantee.htm.
Hello, I'm Mackenzie with Exact Data. I'm excited to share how our team can help your business with its customer acquisition goals. Exact Data has been helping businesses of all sizes find new customers for over 20 years. With over 4,000 unique filters, you're sure to find the most targeted emails, postal addresses, and phone numbers fit for your business. Want a list of new homeowners in your area or looking to reach self-employed business owners? Maybe you're looking for people passionate about charitable causes or a list of medical professionals in your area. We can help. At Exact Data, we have the perfect list to help you grow your business. For pricing, text INFO to 606-MY-LEADS. Remember, text INFO to 606-695-3237, which spells 606-MY-LEADS, and we'll reply with the information you need to get leads for your business. Again, text INFO to 606-MY-LEADS, and you'll be well on your way to reaching your sales goals. Message and data rates apply.
Paid for by Bar Justice. Attention, have you or a loved one been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months? Zantac may be linked to these cancers: bladder, colorectal, esophageal, intestinal, kidney, liver, ovarian, pancreatic, stomach, testicular, and uterine. If you or a loved one have been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months, call now. Never stop taking medication without first consulting a physician. Call right now for a free consultation. Call 800-379-9550. 800-379-9550.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you: printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
And welcome to Friday on the Chris Plant Show. Michael Pelka sitting in for my friend Chris Plant. And boy, oh boy, is there a lot going on today. I mentioned Rashida Tlaib, one of the members of the squad. Not someone I would enjoy having a beer with ever. I think even on a hot day, a cold beer, I couldn't do it. She proposed yesterday $40 billion of your money being used to cancel utility debt. Because after all, if we're going to forgive rent, if we're going to have a rent moratorium, those people have bills for their utilities, including their broadband internet, which we're now told by Democrats is a protected right on every level of society. So she wants $40 billion for power, water, broadband debt that has been accumulated. Just keep an eye on this. And I've mentioned this several times. Go and read the UN Bill of Rights, the United Nations proposed Bill of Rights. The Democrats are following it chapter and verse. It is their playbook right now. I'm trying to squeeze a call in here real quickly. Joe's in Arkansas. Joe, welcome to the Chris Plant Show.
Yes, thank you very much. Yeah, I wanted to make a comment on the border situation.
All right.
And that's that I think it's time now for the border states to take some really bold action against the federal government's neglect of the border. You know, and according to our constitutional system, you know, the federal government was created by the states and delegated certain powers by the states. But I think these states ought to declare that since the federal government is completely neglecting and shirking its responsibility to guard the country from invasion, to secure the border and that kind of thing, that the states are taking back that power, and they should invite the Border Patrol people to come and work for the state if they want to really be able to do their job.
That's a good idea. I don't know if it could be done legally. It's very interesting. We'll explore more. Mike Opelka in for Chris Plant on the Chris Plant Show.
This is the Chris Plant Show.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Fire and Destruction. Obtaining a California concealed weapons license will allow the licensed individual to transport a listed handgun in their vehicle or on their person in public. For application instructions, training, and other information, contact NFI at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
This is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
Years ago, Simpson University began with a promise to be the gateway to world service. 30 years ago, we moved to Reading with a promise to serve the North State, graduating professionals who live and serve our growing community. Today, Simpson University continues to provide a Christ-centered education, graduating students with mature and infectious faith, critical competence, and a ready spirit to thrive as servant leaders around the world and at our backyard. Learn more about Reading's hometown university at simpsonu.edu.
Remodeled kitchen, bathroom, or backyard patio? There's a lot of choices, but only one leader, Estate Granite.
Mike Huber has such a professional attitude and a can-do work ethic that makes him a joy to work with. Mike and his crew worked to have our new kitchen finished in 5 days. We came back to a true work of art.
Hi, this is Brian Salato, broker and co-owner of The Real Estate Group. In today's competitive market, I think what's important is that the house is dialed in and turnkey. And what's important is that the kitchen has been renovated, the bathrooms have been renovated, granite, beautiful cabinetry. Those things make a significant difference.
Mike at Estate Granite has an eye for detail, an attention to perfection, and a quality build crew that are masters of their craft. Mike was there from start to finish.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard or visit us at EstateGranite.com.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill we all have to pay? The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
You don't have to be a Native American to access quality health care. Radiant Rancheria's Churn Creek Healthcare and Central Valley Healthcare are open to anyone with Medicare, Medi-Cal, or Partnership Health. Our health system never charges copays, deductibles, share of cost, or even a sliding fee scale. Patients never have to pay to access quality, compassionate health care. Radiant Rancheria Tribal Health System, changing how health care is delivered. Call us today to schedule an appointment.
A Moment in History by KCNR and historian Dottie Smith. The Delta Toll Road was a 28-mile-long toll road that began at Delta in the Sacramento River Canyon and ended at Trinity Center in Trinity County. It is one of the last toll roads in California. It was built in 1902 by the Northern Trinity Toll Road Company to connect with the railroad at Delta. The part of the Trinity County road section is under Trinity Lake. It was an important commercial route for many years and the last Shasta County toll road to go out of business in 1926. Purchased in Shasta and Trinity counties in 1928, who incorporated it into the county road system. Remains of the toll house exist near the top of the Trinity Divide beside the road. Portions of the road are still drivable, however, you might not get through in the winter. Want more Dottie? Go to the Shasta County Historical Society.
It's a Friday on the Chris Plant Show. Mike Opelka wrapping up a week of sitting in for my friend Chris Plant. And so appreciate the opportunity to be here and sharing some of this time with all of you. You're always welcome. 888-630-9625. I spent some time watching MSNBC and CNN this morning. Why? Well, I do it so you don't have to. You know, it's kind of like, I deserve combat pay like those teachers in Detroit. But I wanted to see what they were talking about. And what they were talking about was nothing that you and I are talking about. Pretty much. There was no mention of Cori Bush. There was no mention of the executive order that Joe Biden signed yesterday that's going to try and force the elimination of the internal combustion engine. There was no discussion of the illegality or legality of the eviction order from the CDC, the prevention of evictions, the moratorium. None of that. So that's kind of amazing. But what I did see on CNN, just absolutely stunning, they spent 40 minutes talking about Donald Trump and the January 6th riot and how Donald Trump was behind it. And they even dragged in two guys that were experts, air quotes around that word, and they were talking about how if we didn't solve this, if we didn't get all the way to Donald Trump, then God forbid we have another election and the Republicans will steal it via state attorneys general overturning the Electoral College. It was such a crazy, randomly idiotic argument, but I couldn't believe that it was being supported by CNN. I'm just going, what are you doing? And then they brought in John Bolton. Now, he's the guy that looks like the Lorax that from that Disney cartoon. I swear with that mustache, he looks like the Lorax. John Bolton, who has been no great supporter of Donald Trump, but he is an honest guy. And Bolton started off his segment. I know John Berman was planning on getting into more Trump ripping. And Bolton started off his segment saying, you know, those last two guys you had on there were crazy. It's so conspiratorial what they're talking about. None of that would ever happen. Essentially taking all the wind out of this crazy segment. It really was kind of interesting, and I enjoyed it. I had a little Schadenfreude moment there. And so I was good with that. Oh, I see one of our regulars, Victor from Silver Spring, Maryland, is on the phone. Victor, welcome to the Chris Plant Show, sir.
Thanks. Biden is so big on electric cars. The one thing I don't think he even realizes or cares about is these cars don't make any noise. As a blind person, those cars could kill me because I can't hear them while I'm waiting for the light to change.
Well, Victor, that's a really interesting topic. And as the owner of an electric car, I can tell you that is something we discuss regularly because I have friends who say, you're sneaking up on me in that car. But here's what's going to happen. And you know this is coming. The government, the federal government, is going to mandate that electric cars will have to make a sound. There will be a sound. And I've already gotten a note from the people at Tesla that they are working on a choice of sounds that your car will make. And I think the first place you're going to see it is in reverse mode. So that when cars are backing up, you will hear, you know, like you hear trucks beep when they back up.
That really helps a lot when people back out of their driveways.
Yeah, it is helpful. But they're talking about making it first on the reverse only, that your electric cars will make a noise. And Tesla is experimenting with two options right now. The first one will be the sound made by the Jetsons spaceship with that George Jetson used to fly around in. Jeff, if you can find that, that's got to be up there somewhere. And the second option that they're planning on giving people is the clippity clop of a horse and buggy that you might hear in Amish country, which it just shows me the sense of humor is still alive among the Tesla engineers. So yeah, that's a big stinking deal. And so it's
The National Federation of the Blind made a huge stink about it a number of years ago. They had mock funerals to show, what can happen if you got hit by an electric car.
Well, it's 4,000 pounds of steel. Anything 4,000 pounds hits you, it's going to do some damage. It's a little dramatic, Victor, but I understand what they're saying because it is really quiet. But I appreciate you being there. I want to share some more information with the audience about what else is going on with this executive order that Joe Biden is pushing. He wants the elimination of the internal combustion engine. And people are saying, how can you say that? He just said 50%. He wants 50% of all the cars on the road to be electric cars by 2030. Yeah, I know. I don't even know if he's going to be around by then, but that's a different subject. But here's the deal. It's a big giveaway to China. What's going on with this executive order is really part of the Great Reset. You are taking the energy dominance that we had under Donald Trump. We were completely energy independent. We were also selling energy to the rest of the world. We were selling oil and gas to the rest of the world. And with the day one cancellation of the Keystone XL pipeline, that dominance in the world was immediately vanquished to the dustbin of history, as they say. It was immediately put on pause anyway. Let's hopefully we can get it back. So what that did was make us now dependent again on OPEC and other oil producing nations. And Biden said, well, we're gonna get all those great jobs for all those people on the Keystone XL pipeline. They're gonna get new alternative energy jobs. A lot of those people are still waiting for that. Hasn't happened. But it also gave China, as I said, a huge handout. Because what's going on now, China will now become the world's biggest maker of electric batteries because they know one of the world's biggest markets, the United States, is going to need more batteries because more electric cars. The electric cars make up about 3% of the American automobile ranks. 3%. And that's right now. Imagine if it gets to 50%. The tens of millions of cars that will require batteries and that will require China and the rare earth minerals that they mine to dig up those minerals, make those batteries, and sell them to us. So China's going to get rich again off this. And this will feed into China's efforts to supplant the dollar as the reserve currency of the world, which, if that happens, it's game over. And Russia's only too glad to see China make that happen. So this move by Biden to push us, to force America to change the free market and turn it into mandatory, Now, it's only suggestions right now. I know that. It's not capitalism, and it's not a good idea, and it's not something I can get behind. So I'm just very nervous about this on every level, and this is from an electric car owner. This is from an electric car driver, but I drive it because it's my choice. We also have an internal combustion engine at our home, too, so I'm an evil polluter that way as well. But this is a giant giveaway to China, and it's not going to help America at all. So another failure by the Biden administration, in case you were wondering. We also need to get into the infrastructure bill. The infrastructure bill, which is going to get a vote tomorrow, apparently. Remember, we were told that the infrastructure bill was going to be paid for. We were promised by several members of the Republican Party and Joe Manchin, who kind of dances on both sides of the fence. We were told that it's paid for. We don't have to worry about anything. That all of this money, this $1.2 trillion, it's going to be paid for. No new taxes either, right? Remember when those guys were telling us that?
This is paid for. Our infrastructure bill is all paid for. We don't have a debt that we're going to incur more debt and throwing onto it.
This is a bill which is paid for. It is something which Democrats and Republicans can support. It is paid for, and it does help the American people.
Mr. Cassidy, Senator Cassidy at the end there, a guy who's been running around saying, well, this is, we have to do this. It's paid for, and it helps the American people, and Manchin and Romney. Well, yesterday we finally got the score from the nonpartisan Congressional Budget Office, nonpartisan. And they looked at this thing and they said, no, that's not really true. It's not paid for. It's going to cost you another $250 billion. $250 billion added. And they never get it right. They always underestimate, don't they? Yeah, so this is all Bravo Sierra. And I hope you will reach out to your senators, because there were 17 senators who pushed this bill forward. And this is really the amuse bouche, if you will. This is not even the appetizer. This is just a little tasty tidbit that the restaurant brings out and says, oh, the chef would like you to taste this because he's working on something for an appetizer. It is an amuse bouche to whet your appetite. Yeah, this is a door opener to help increase more spending. $1.2 trillion, which will add another $250 billion to the national debt. It's not paid for. And there's certainly a whole bunch of Green New Deal junk buried in there, as well as some of the other controls, et cetera, social controls that are in there that I can't get behind. So we all need to reach out to Romney, to Cassidy, to everyone, and say no. Although I think their minds may be made up. We'll see. If enough of us stand up and wave, maybe something happens. All right, I have to get to a break here when we return. I really would like your opinion on something. Who should the new Jeopardy host be? I'm reading in the paper that the guy who's the executive producer, Mike Richards, he was one of the several people who guest hosted for Alex Trebek after he died. He's one of the people they were considering, and they made it sound like he was just filling in because they couldn't get anybody. Well, it looks like he's the best choice. Was there somebody better? Is it Ken Jennings? Is it Aaron Rodgers? Is it Robin Roberts? Was it Katie Couric? Just kind of a side poll today. It's a Friday on the Chris Plant Show. We've got plenty of heavy stuff to get to. But I want to see what you think as well, because I know most of you are smart enough to be Jeopardy fans. 888-630-9625. It's the Chris Plant Show on a Friday with Mike Opelka.
There's only one Chris Plant. The Chris Plant Show. Hey, everybody. Jay Farner here, CEO of Rocket Mortgage and Rocket Companies. Last year, we saw historically low mortgage interest rates.
In fact, over 1 million homeowners took advantage of refinancing or buying a new home with Rocket Mortgage. What you may not know is that interest rates are already starting to increase again, and it's likely that trend is only going to continue. Our team of experts is standing by to help you save before rates go up. With an official mortgage review from Rocket Mortgage, you'll see just how much money you could save by making a move right now. Don't look back over these next few weeks and wish that you had taken action. You could save hundreds on your mortgage payments or pay off your home loan earlier than planned. You could even take cash out of your home to pay off high interest debt, complete home repairs, or bulk up on an emergency fund. When you want to secure a low rate, Rocket can. Call 833-8-ROCKET or visit rocketmortgage.com.
Rocket.
Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender license in all 50 states and MLSConsumerAccess.org number 3030.
How can I make sure my office never stops working?
With Staples Connect, it's possible.
I need to keep my back office stocked without messing up my bottom line.
Also possible. Because Staples Connect has your small business covered with big savings on everything you need to get work done. This week, 12 packs of True Red ballpoint pens are just 97 cents and binders are only $1.88 each. Explore what's new at your local Staples store or StaplesConnect.com. Staples Connect, the working and learning store, ends 9/18. Prices may vary online.
Are you the parent of a 2 to 7 year old? Listen closely for an exciting free radio offer. By now, you've probably heard of ABC Mouse, the Parents' Choice Award-winning online learning program that's actually changing the lives of early learners everywhere.
ABC Mouse is like a little one-on-one teacher. It has helped her so much.
Right now, we're offering a special radio promo to try it free for a month. But you have to go to abcmouse.com/radio to claim your free month. That's abcmouse.com/radio.
Sponsored by Age of Learning.
Angie's List is now Angie. Summer is the perfect time to book your next home project. From lawn care to a new patio, Angie makes it simple to connect with pros who can get the job done right. See reviews, upfront pricing, and instantly book hundreds of projects. Plus, when you book and pay through Angie, we'll cover your project up to the full purchase price, plus limited damage protection with our happiness guarantee. Check out Angie.com, and for more on the happiness guarantee, go to Angie.com/happiness-guarantee.htm.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Paid for by Bar Justice. Attention. Have you or a loved one been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months? Zantac may be linked to these cancers. Bladder, colorectal, esophageal, intestinal, kidney, liver, ovarian, pancreatic, stomach, testicular, and uterine. If you or a loved one have been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months, call now. Never stop taking medication without first consulting a physician. Call right now for a free consultation. Call 800-379-9550. 800-379-9550.
Korchak's coat is very thick. He's an Akita, German Shepherd, Lab, Husky mix. Harold, the Border Collie Pit mix, has the most beautiful jet black coat. Stuart, my rat terrier, has fur now where he never had it before.
DINOVITE.com.
Dynavite will give them a beautiful, lustrous coat. It will make you smile.
It's Dynavite. How happy your dog will be.
DINOVITE.com.
Hello, I'm Mackenzie with Exact Data. I'm excited to share how our team can help your business with its customer acquisition goals. Exact Data has been helping businesses of all sizes find new customers for over 20 years. With over 4,000 unique filters, you're sure to find the most targeted emails, postal addresses, and phone numbers fit for your business. Want a list of new homeowners in your area or looking to reach self-employed business owners? Maybe you're looking for people passionate about charitable causes or a list of medical professionals in your area. We can help. At Exact Data, we have the perfect list to help you grow your business. For pricing, text INFO to 606-MY-LEADS. Remember, text INFO to 606-695-3237, which spells 606-MY-LEADS, and we'll reply with the information you need to get leads for your business. Again, text INFO to 606-MY-LEADS, and you'll be well on your way to reaching your sales goals. Message and data rates apply.
Phil Pelka in for Chris Plant on the Chris Plant Show. It's a Friday. Feeling like we deserved a Friday after this week. There were a lot of walking back of statements this week. Did you notice? I'm waiting for Cori Bush to walk back the statement she made yesterday. I'm betting the party leaders are pulling Cori Bush in and saying, have you lost your mind? You're talking about the fact that you've got private security and the rest of us should just calm down because you deserve private security? I think she's getting a good talking to from Nancy Pelosi, but it may not do any good because she's getting credit for the eviction moratorium. She's getting a whole bunch of credit for the eviction moratorium. Chuck Schumer was talking about Cori Bush, and he got all excited. He was just thrilled that the eviction moratorium had come through, and he wanted to give her credit for it, and he kind of did.
Above all, Representative Cori Bush gets huge credit. One person who changed things for tens of thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands of people.
So that unconstitutional, illegal eviction moratorium, you're giving Cori Bush credit for that. I wonder if about a year and 4 months from right now, we'll be able to play that same clip after the GOP takes back the House. Because I honestly believe that Cori Bush and some of her statements from yesterday are going to come back and bite her on the hind end. And that it may cause, as even Chris Cillizza over at CNN said, these are going to be gifts to the GOP. You're going to see those statements over and over and over again.
So suck it up, and defunding the police has to happen.
So while that runs in 4 million commercials next fall before the midterms and the GOP takes back the House, then Chuck Schumer will probably stand up the day after the House has been retaken and maybe even the Senate retaken by the GOP. Chuck will stand up and say this.
Above all, Representative Cori Bush gets huge credit. One person who changed things for tens of thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands of people.
Yeah, I think that clip is universally available to be used in positive and negative situations regarding Cori Bush. And we're going to keep it. We put that in the archives and label it post-midterms after the giant red wave. Maybe that happens, maybe it doesn't. The phones are open today, as always, and Fridays we like to have a little more fun. 888-630-9625. Mike's on the phone in Alexandria. Hello, Mike. Welcome to the Chris Plant Show.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Of course.
I have questions for the infrastructure people and the president and the new Green Deal folks about how we're going to power all these electric cars. I hope the infrastructure bill has enough in it to build new power plants to do that. We have states like California that don't have enough electric power to keep their air conditioners going and rolling blackouts. And if everybody or half the people have electric cars, they're going to have to charge them every night. So every night's going to be peak hours. It's a simple matter of how many kilowatt hours do you need a day or a night to charge all the cars in the country. And I can tell you right now, we don't have it. And second, even if they build the power plants, what kind of energy is going to power them?
Oh, it's going to be coal. Coal, yeah, coal, yeah. We're going to be, people come up to me all the time and say, hey, green car, huh? You green? I said, no, it's powered by coal. My battery is charged by coal. I understand how this works. California's in big trouble. They're already telling people, based on the summer they've had, not just with the fires but the heat, that if you've got an electric car, you need to dial back the overnight charging of it or limit the hours when you can because the grid is so strained. And now, again, nationally, we're 3% car ownership that are electric vehicles. 3%. Imagine when we get to 10. It will cripple it. Biden's target is 50%. You can't build power plants that quickly.
and the sun still doesn't shine at night.
Wait, what? We haven't found how to do that yet? Yeah, I know. It's a little frightening, Mike. The ignorance is frightening, and these people who are always saying follow the science have no idea how the science of energy actually works, and they're in charge, and we're in trouble as long as they're in charge. Thanks for those excellent points, sir. Yeah, California's got a problem. Its grid has already been strained, and now with people buying electric vehicles, it's going to be strained even more. You don't necessarily have to charge your car every night. It's like filling up your gas tank. If you only go 150 miles a week, that's all the battery power you need. It's about being smart, but we don't have the ability yet. Mike Opelka in for Chris Plant on The Chris Plant Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.